the AM general manager, Hal Ginsberg, with an important announcement about an exciting change in our weekday morning lineup. Casey, cut it out. This is very important. I'm trying to tell people about the show, our new program following Stephanie Miller, weekday mornings.
First of all, you're going to have to wake people up, Hal.
Aha, very funny. Just what we would expect from the number one morning news anchor in Sand City. So join Hal and Casey for the show.
I thought it was going to be Casey and Hal.
I changed it, which is my prerogative.
Your what?
Look it up! And please, join us weekday mornings from 9 to 10 for the show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Lou Milliano. They're calling it an ambush. Detainees at Guantanamo Bay who attacked guards, responding to what looked like a detainee trying to hang himself. Rear Admiral Harry Harris is Gitmo Commander.
The detainees had slickened the floor of their block with feces, urine, and soapy water in an attempt to trip the guards. They then assaulted the guards with broken light fixtures, fan blades, and bits of metal.
By the time the guards regained control of the area, six prisoners were hurt in the clash. Meanwhile, the U.S. State Department is disputing conclusions of a U.N. panel that monitors compliance with the world's anti-torture treaty. At the State Department, CBS News reporter Charles Wolfson.
State Department legal advisor John Bellinger told reporters, in many ways, the report seems to have been written without even looking at the information provided by the U.S. Acknowledging past mistakes in the treatment of prisoners, Bellinger made one point clear. Subjecting prisoners, whether they are being held on U.S. territory or not, to cruel and unusual treatment is prohibited under U.S. law.
Wolfson says the State Department called charges. The U.S. condones torture at Gitmo, errors of fact, and misstatements. A lot of people are engaging their mouths before their brains. Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld at a Pentagon town meeting today, scoffing at critics of the president's plans to deploy 6,000 National Guard troops to help guard the border with Mexico.
I can't find anything wrong with agreeing that on an interim basis, temporarily, we would provide 6,000 out of 450,000 people who will be doing it on their active duty for training for 2 weeks.
Rumsfeld said the Guard is not going to be out with guns standing on the border shooting people who are trying to come across the border, saying they are not in law enforcement. Alabama Republican Jeff Sessions says the Senate should be ashamed of itself over the pending immigration measure. Yet Republican Senator John Cornyn of Texas says he's pleased with efforts to make the bill tougher.
We can't simply open our borders to anyone and everyone who wants to come to the United States, or we would be swamped by a veritable tsunami of humanity.
The immigration legislation in the Senate appears likely to pass next week. Defense officials today are being quoted as saying U.S. military commanders are sending several hundred additional U.S. troops to Iraq to bolster security as a new government takes shape in Baghdad. The extra troops are from a 1st Armored Division battalion that had been stationed in Kuwait as a reserve force. Tomorrow's a big day in the Big Easy. CBS News correspondent Byron Pitts is in New Orleans for the mayoral runoff.
According to most pollsters, the challenger, Lieutenant Governor Mitch Landrieu, has the slight edge at this point. The latest poll here shows him up by as many as 10 points. However, the big unknown here is the impact absentee voters will have in this election. During the primary election, the vast majority of the absentee voters voted for Ray Nagin. So if absentee voters turn out in large numbers this time, that would bode well for Ray Nagin.
This is CBS News.
If your sinus congestion comes with pain, it's time to clear something up about sinus medicine. Some sinus medicines treat congestion, but not pain. New Tylenol Sinus is different. It gives more complete relief by combining the pure pain relief of Tylenol with powerful sinus medicine. Stop. Think. New Tylenol Sinus. Take only as directed.
You see a squirrel in the road. Your car stops. It gets dark. Your car lights the way. You order a coffee. Your car holds your cup. Your car takes care of you. So how do you take care of your car? Sears Auto Centers. Full service car care from diehard batteries to all the top tire brands, even on Sundays. And right now we're having our biggest Goodyear tire sale ever. So bring your car to the experts at Sears Auto Centers. Your car would do the same for you. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends 5/27/06.
A throwback to the 70s in Milwaukee. Reporter Bruce Marcus was there at the annual meeting of the NRA.
Rock guitarist and outdoorsman Ted Nugent fired up thousands of NRA members at the opening ceremonies with his rendition of the national anthem. Later, Nugent spoke about the need to safeguard gun owners' rights.
If you don't think life is worth protecting, I'm going to keep my eye on you.
NRA leaders want the nation's mayors and police chiefs to pledge never to confiscate civilian firearms, even during an emergency. Bruce Marcus for CBS News, Milwaukee.
Los Angeles City officials will be in Denver Monday to make their pitch for an NFL team. And tucked neatly in their collective back pocket, an $800 million renovation of the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. L.A. City Council has given unanimous approval to the plan that calls for building a 67,000-seat facility within the walls of the historic Coliseum. I'm Lou Miliano, CBS News.
The following is a message from Pfizer.
Dr. Drew Pinsky here on a subject most guys would rather ignore, erectile dysfunction. Believe it or not, nearly half of all guys over 40, and some even younger, have ED. If your sex life leaves something to be desired, even part of the time, do something about it. To learn more about ED and how to treat it, talk to your doctor or visit JustAskToday.com. Do it for you and your partner.
Dad, go to Radio Shack and buy me a Singular CG300 phone by LG. It has a camera, Bluetooth, push-to-talk, the works. Why? I'm graduating, that's why. Oh, and you can get it for free.
Go to your local Radio Shack and get on the largest push-to-talk network in America from Singular Wireless with the CG300 by LG free after $50 mail-in rebate and new two-year subscriber agreement. Don't just get a phone, get a Singular phone at Radio Shack today. Good through 6306 for new customers with credit approval. $36 activation and $175 early termination fees apply. Details in store.
Peter B. Collins!
Oh, stop laughing. Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. We originate in San Francisco and we're moving eastward from the left coast. We are live on KRXA 540. That's our flagship station, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, and Freedom. We're also live on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. And today we're live sitting in for Christine Kraft on 1240 Talk City, KSAC, Sacramento. Our program is also heard on 1480 KPHX in Phoenix. And a shout out to my man in Fair Oaks, California, Glenn Totten, this afternoon. Hope you're listening and doing well. On the program today, I have declared another Free Speech Friday because there's so much to talk about. We're going to see if we can set a new record here on the PBC show for the number of listener calls. So let me give out the number right away. You can call me toll-free on 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. I know for some of you it's the first time, so I'm going to give you the number again. It's 1-888-579-2540. And if your question is who he, your humble host, has a website at peterbcollins.com, and you can drop by there and get access to our archive programs, the live daily stream, ways that you can email me, and all sorts of stuff like that at peterbcollins.com. Coming up later this hour, Rory O'Connor from mediachannel.org and Scott Malone, who's a retired Navy SEAL, will join us with the stunning news that Judy Miller, you remember her, Judith Miller, New York Times, former reporter, went to jail, she said, for the First Amendment. Well, it turns out that she has recently revealed that she had tips, SIGINT, Signal Intelligence, from the summer of 2001 that tipped her off to the probable attacks on 9/11. We'll talk with those two gentlemen about that coming up a little bit later this hour. Next hour, Brad Friedman, the proprietor of bradblog.com, he's going to talk with us about what Diebold knew about the failings of its voting machines as far back as 2004, and they've covered it up. We're also going to talk about Congressman John Conyers, who has led the effort to investigate the Bush administration. We'll talk about his position on possible impeachment if the Democrats retake control of the House this fall. And also on the program today, California State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Jack O'Connell, will be here. He has appealed to the California Supreme Court, a case that challenged the high school exit exam legislation that state senator, he used to have that job, Jack O'Connell, sponsored just a few years back.
That plus lots of your phone calls today here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Again, my number at 1-888-579-2540, and we'll go to your call shortly. Joining us first, though, we unofficially refer to as our House Counsel. Marjorie Cohn is a professor of constitutional law at the Thomas Jefferson School of Law in San Diego, and she is also the new president of the National Lawyers Guild. Professor, welcome to our program today.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
Well, I'm feeling safer, you know, because of the monitoring of my phone calls. Knowing that the NSA has been through my telephone records, it just makes me feel safe, Marjorie.
Well, I'm feeling just as safe, and I hope that they're monitoring all my phone calls, you know, because I have a number of telephones, and hopefully they've got them all.
What do you think about General Hayden's performance so far up at the up on the Hill as he seeks confirmation for head of the CIA?
I thought it was a brilliant performance, and that's just what it was, a performance. I think that he was coached very, very well to appear very objective, and he would never fit the intelligence to the policy, but that's exactly why he was chosen. Why do you think we have three CIA chiefs within 2 years? It's because Bush wants to make sure he's got a yes man in that position so that he, when he decides to go into Iran, he doesn't have the same embarrassment that he had before Iraq when he was trying to get the CIA then to say there were weapons of mass destruction and say that Saddam Hussein was in cahoots with Al-Qaeda.
Along with his four stars and with the ribbons and stripes that he has earned over the years, there should be a little button there that just says, trust me, because that's what we're being asked to do. We have proxies. Now the full Senate Intelligence Committee and the House Intelligence Committee have been briefed on these programs. They only did it hours before the general took his seat there in front of the Intelligence Committee. But we are going to have to rely on these surrogates to represent our interests and ensure that the claims that the general and the administration have made, that all these programs are completely lawful, are true.
That's true. And, you know, if you watch the hearings, and especially the questioning by Senator Feinstein yesterday, she asked him seven questions, all of which were answered by, I'll tell you about that in secret. I'll tell you about that in closed session. And many of them had nothing conceivable to do with national security. And so then once they hear it in closed session, then they're not allowed to repeat it. So precisely what you said. We have to take it on faith that, in fact, everything is on the up and up. But he did say that he thought that this NSA spying program was legal because, and there was an interesting, he talked about talking to some of the lawyers in the Department of Justice and the NSA, but at one point he was asked about the Fourth Amendment. And you know, of course, the Fourth Amendment says that there shall be no unreasonable searches and seizures. People shall be free from unreasonable searches and seizures, and no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause. Well, the Supreme Court has said many, many times that in order for a search to be reasonable under the Fourth Amendment, there has to be a search warrant supported by probable cause unless there's a special exception. And FISA has made it very clear that there needs to be a search warrant based on probable cause. Well, what Hayden has done and what he admitted is that he has reversed the presumption and he has decided that no warrant is needed and the NSA can decide whether there's probable cause. Well, the reason that the Founding Fathers put the Fourth Amendment into the Bill of Rights is so that a judge would look and determine whether there's probable cause and not have an executive run wild, which is what King George was doing when they put the Fourth Amendment in there. I mean, the king's men would come in with a general warrant. It didn't really describe anything, and they went from house to house tearing it apart until they found something that would incriminate someone. And the Founding Fathers, that was one of the most potent causes of the American Revolution, was that search and seizure power. And so here you have Hayden, who's not a lawyer, basically saying that he talked to some of his relatives who were law students, and they explained the Fourth Amendment to him.
Oh,
that's
great.
Very frightening.
Wow. I mean, couldn't he at least read the Constitution for Dummies?
You know, I don't know what he reads. He reads the Fourth Amendment. But, you know, if you look at the words of the Fourth Amendment, the words of the Bill of Rights, there aren't a lot of words, but there are reams of pages and books of cases decided by the Supreme Court interpreting those amendments. And that's what you need a lawyer for, not a hired gun like Alberto Gonzalez, who's going to tell Bush exactly what he wants to hear. You know, the Department of Justice was investigating the lawfulness of this NSA spying program. And then a week or two ago, the NSA said to the Department of Justice, we're not going to give you any security clearances. So the Department of Justice, unfortunately for them, had to drop the investigation. You know, the fox guarding the hen house, just absurd.
Yeah. And it is an interesting cycle that we're seeing right now. Professor Cohn, you referenced Senator Feinstein from California, and I agree that she attempted to ask those questions in the open session yesterday. But she's been kind of all over the map as it reflects the prospects of this confirmation. At first, she welcomed it and talked about putting some touches, remodeling onto the FISA Act. And then when the USA Today story came out about the phone record data mining, she said that she predicted a constitutional crisis around this confirmation process. And yet it doesn't seem that she was in crisis mode yesterday. Senator Wyden from Oregon seemed to be the strongest of the Democrats.
Yes, that's true. And Wyden said to Hayden, you know, I don't trust you, basically. I have real questions about your credibility. You say one thing, the press club, and then you say, you know, that we're not going to be spying on Americans. And then it turns out the USA Today report comes out, and it says something else. And Hayden said, well, of course, I can't confirm or deny the USA Today report. But no, Feinstein did ask some tough questions, but when he said, I'll handle those in closed session, she accepted that. I think that there were no real fireworks yesterday. He's going to be easily confirmed. And, you know, one of the interesting things he said, Peter, is that I'm going to uphold the proud tradition of the CIA's culture of risk-taking. You know, the proud history and the proud culture of the CIA. You know, what he didn't mention is when that great CIA engineered a coup in Iran in 1953 and overthrew a democratically elected president and put in the Shah of Iran, who was such a terrorist and a torturer that his people overthrew him and put in the fundamentalist, the Ayatollah Khomeini, and that's what we're dealing with now. He didn't talk about Chile, where the CIA went in and overthrew Allende, a democratically elected president, and put in a vicious dictator, Pinochet. He didn't talk about when the CIA went in against the Soviet Union in Afghanistan, supporting the Mujahideen and training Osama bin Laden, who then came back to get us. He didn't talk about that unproud tradition of the CIA, and nobody's talking about that. They're talking about the CIA as if it's just, you know, this really nice, clean intelligence organization. We want to make sure we've got a really honest, objective person who's very qualified, knows all about SIGINT, signal intelligence, and human intelligence. But, you know, look at what the CIA has done, and there is every indication that unproud tradition is going to be continued. Nothing about the CIA's writing of the torture manuals, which were used by dictators in Latin America that we supported in the 70s and 80s to torture their people. None of that.
Well,
and that's the kind of thing we need to be talking about.
John Negroponte's fingerprints are on some of those manuals.
Professor, there you go.
Thank you for joining us today, and you can read more of her comments at truthout.org, an item that was published on Tuesday, the 16th of May. Marjorie Cohn, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Peter.
She's professor of law at the Thomas Jefferson School of Law in San Diego. Your calls and comments are coming up next. Grab a line toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. And my question to you right now is, if General Hayden is easily confirmed, and I expect he will be, is the administration going to say that that is Senate approval of these NSA programs? I sure hope not, but that's the spin the White House wants. Let me know your thoughts. 888-579-2540 here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
This week on Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, meet some of the top real estate agents here in the Bay Area. You'll learn about where the best open houses are this Sunday. That's this week on Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. Your number one source for all your real estate needs heard all over Northern California. To be a guest on Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, call 408-892-3376. Rock, Roll, and Real Estate. You can also listen online at www.rockrollandrealestate.com.
He's not just another gardener in another garden. Dave Egbert is the Coastal Gardener. Follow Dave each week to unique destination gardens and nurseries. Discover great plants, garden tips, and fun celebrity garden visits.
Join Dave the Coastal Gardener every Sunday at 6:30 p.m. on ABC7.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Jeep Commander 4x4, a 7-passenger SUV that's roomier than the Cherokee. My demo has a 3.7-liter V6 and a 5-speed automatic with full-time all-wheel drive. The Commander is a solid SUV with a comfy suspension, holds the road well, and accelerates pretty well for an SUV. Well-priced compared to the competition, my demo has a good accessory package, but it's not all leathered up and there's no DVD player for the kids. It's a roomy, solid, practical 4x4, and you should test drive it before you buy a Range Rover or other luxury SUV. By the numbers, the 2006 Jeep Commander gets 16 miles in the city, 19 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $30,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. It's a free speech Friday. And my lines are open to hear from you. You can call about any subject, and you can talk about it from any point of view. I'm most interested right now in hearing your comments about General Michael Hayden's testimony before the Senate Intelligence Committee yesterday, and whether you think you can trust him as the new head of the CIA, and if you feel comfortable with the way he characterized his approach to the Fourth Amendment, and in particular, as Professor Cohn pointed out just a few minutes ago, the issue related to probable cause. That is in the Constitution. It's not a statute. It's not a policy or some lower-ranking presidential order. It's in the Constitution itself. And this administration has unilaterally tried to amend the Constitution in what I consider to be a frightening grab for executive power. And while it was heartening to hear on the Hill yesterday a range of senators from Wyden of Oregon to Snow of Maine, a Republican, criticized this administration for failing to operate under the law and properly brief the members of both House and Senate Intelligence Committees, the entire committees, on these controversial programs. I don't find comfort in the idea that General Hayden will be confirmed, and with it, the implicit message will be that these spying programs have passed muster with the Congress. I think that's the hidden agenda of the Hayden nomination. And it's pretty amazing to see this administration at its lowest ebb, with Bush's numbers dropping below 30%, with Karl Rove likely to leave very soon, with the war such a mess, with the economy in shambles and more tax cuts passed despite that. It is amazing to me that they would choose a controversial lightning rod nominee like the man who admits that he was the architect of the conversion of the NSA from an agency that was purely focused on foreign intelligence to one that now also focuses on domestic intelligence. This is creeping fascism, in my opinion. And if you disagree, I'd like to hear from you. I was amazed last week how many people called this program and said, oh, it's okay if they go through my phone records. I don't have anything to hide. Well, turn it around. Our government is acting as if almost every citizen who has a telephone is a potential suspect in a terrorist operation. And that turns our privacy, our vaunted freedoms that this president talks so much about, that he claims are A, the reason the terrorists hate us, and B, the reason that he has this messianic desire to use our troops to impose our sense of democracy on Middle East nations. I find it very scary, and I'd like to hear from you. It's Free Speech Friday. 888-579-2540 is my number. You dial 1-38, then 579-2540, and that puts you through to us here at the Peter B. Collins Show. And as I saw General Hayden testifying yesterday, the dark side of me sees a kind of Uncle Fester. And I can say that because a lot of my hair has fallen out, too. General Hayden does have that cue ball look. But he's a lot smarter than Uncle Fester. No question about it. And he did manage and dodge the questions of the senators quite artfully. I give him credit for that. But I think he's the wrong man at this time to take over the Central Intelligence Agency. And I am disappointed that there aren't more Democratic senators who attend those hearings who are speaking up and really making it clear that they cannot support his nomination. Again, Ron Wyden, the senator from Oregon, was the most explicit. And while we heard complaints from senators about process and failure to be briefed, we didn't hear a real constitutional crisis developing, as Senator Feinstein had predicted. So I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. We've got Nick from Sacramento. Hello, Nick. Thanks for calling. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello, Peter B.
Hi.
Hey, this guy scares the tar out of me. In fact, this whole thing that's going on with the border and everything else, and you got to speak English, and you can't do this, you can't do that. I mean, it's like, what are we going to do next? You know, and I agree with you. And Hayden, as far as I'm concerned, as being a military man and coming in and taking over the CIA, they don't have a good track record. And when I was in the military, they had people that were from foreign countries in our military that were wearing a uniform and high ranking. And, you know, I see this as just another thing is to try to get rid of the Constitution. And I wanted to pass this by you.
Go ahead.
Do you know anything about these camps that this thing with Halliburton is supposed to be building down around the border?
Well, KBR is a subsidiary of Halliburton. The Kellogg Brown Root was the original company name. And they got a no-bid contract from the government in January of this year to build 6 detention centers in the United States. And it's very vague what the purpose of these detention centers are. And the locations have not been revealed to me. We are pursuing this story, and we have a guest on the program Monday who's going to be giving us more information about that. I'm glad you're aware of it, Nick, and I appreciate your call this afternoon.
Okay.
Free speech continues. Call me, 1-888-579-2540. Coming up next, did Judith Miller know about 9/11 beforehand?
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. The Tasty Planet Radio Show is sponsored by the Monterey Bay Aquarium's 5th annual Cooking for Solutions on May 19th and 20th. For ticket information, call 866-963-9644 or go to the web at montereybayaquarium.org.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Hi, Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary, our 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, montereylimos.com. Our corporate transportation program offers competitive rates, we answer the phone 24/7, and you get a real person. And we have the best professional chauffeurs. We cover all the airports including San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland, and Monterey. We can help plan your company's VIP meeting or employee outing to the ballgame. Let us take the worry and hassle out of your transportation or event. 625-5363 or montereylimos.com.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to the designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience. I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Yeah, hop in. Let's go for a ride. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, and thanks for letting us come through your speakers. It is a Free Speech Friday, and we'll take more of your calls here in just a moment. Lines available for you at 1-888-579-2540. It's toll-free, by the way. If you're a cheapskate, I'll pay for the call. 1-888-579-2540. An interesting interview with former New York Times reporter Judith Miller provides us new information about what she knew before 9/11/2001. To tell us more, Rory O'Connor, co-founder of MediaChannel.org and one of the key bloggers there, along with our pal Danny Schechter, joins us this afternoon. Hey, Rory.
Hey, Peter. Nice to be back with you.
Good to talk with you. And your colleague Scott Malone from NavySeals.com is on with us, too. Hello, Scott.
How are you, Peter?
Pleasure to meet you. How's it going?
Reasonably well under the circumstances.
Tell us, I think Scott was the one who scored the interview with Judith Miller. Is this true?
Yes, sir.
And how did you do that? What made her decide to talk to you, Scott?
Well, that's a good question. It certainly wasn't her attorneys. Who didn't?
And it wasn't her intent.
To us.
Uh-huh.
Well, she had interviewed me in 1990 about the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq before the first war.
Uh-huh.
On the phone, I'd actually never met her. After she got out of jail, I contacted her and told her we were pursuing Able Danger and she might find it of interest.
Mm-hmm. So Able Danger was the data mining program that Colonel Tony Schaefer went public with.
Right. It's a secret army program from Special Operations Command, which is what Rory and I were looking into at the time.
Mm-hmm.
We were chasing related military items like NSA intercepts.
Mm-hmm.
And we finally got some information in January, led right to Judy.
Mm-hmm.
Judy got it from outside the bowels of the intelligence community into the White House. And so we approached her, and eventually we got her to go on, to agree to go on camera and on the record.
And, Rory, this is somewhat extraordinary, and it appears she's trying to rehabilitate her image. Did you get a sense that she was looking at this as a way to change people's perceptions of Judy Miller?
No, definitely not, and that's something I'd like to correct, Peter. You know, there's a lot of paranoia out there in the blogosphere, and we're in a very partisan media climate, as we've discussed in the past. This is not something that Judy initiated. This is not really something that she wanted to do. It was at our request. She had second and third thoughts, but we were persistent. And in the end, she did agree to the interview, as Scott had mentioned, despite the express displeasure of her attorneys, who, after all, just earlier this week were in front of Judge Walton in the district court in Washington in arguing oral arguments about the ongoing Libby case, the one in which Ms. Miller, of course, was imprisoned for more than 85 days.
And Scott Malone, let me jump to the interview itself. To me, the power quote here is her saying, a person told me, a source, that there was some concern about an intercept, some SIGINT, signal intelligence, that had been picked up. The incident that gotten everyone's attention was a conversation between two members of Al-Qaeda. They'd been talking to one another, supposedly expressing disappointment that the U.S. had not chosen to retaliate more seriously after the attack on the Cole, the USS Cole. And one Al-Qaeda operative was overheard saying to the other, don't worry, we're planning something so big now that the U.S. will have to respond. What's the timeline of this this event she's describing, Scott?
Well, it's very interesting. She was actively working on a major series on Al-Qaeda. And back when Cole was attacked, which was October 12, 2000, almost a year before 9/11,
mm-hmm.
and she had heard it was Al-Qaeda and this and that. It was never quite proven, and we didn't do anything. Then during the summer, particularly in the spring, according to various reports, you know, the chatter, so-called, which is basically intercepts, picked up incredibly. And the whole White House and all of Washington, including myself, where I lived at the time, were on total edge that something was going to happen on the 4th of July. So everybody couldn't go away for the weekend or anything, and Judy had to come down from New York.
Mm-hmm.
And
that is the time period when Richard Clark, the national security advisor there who was focused on terrorism, was trying to get the attention of the cabinet-level officials because he was responding, and he canceled his plans for the 4th of July weekend. I remember that vividly from his book. And so he couldn't really get that kind of attention, and then Bush took his five-week vacation in August.
Yeah, you know, in fact, if you recall in his testimony in front of the 9/11 Commission, Clark said that he was running around with his hair on fire.
Yes.
Trying to impress upon people at a higher level within the White House the dangers and the enormity of the concern that he and other people in the counterterrorism world had. Apparently, they were not being paid what they thought was sufficient attention. As Ms. Miller says in the interview, as a result, someone decided that the way to get the attention of the higher-ups in the White House, including the president, would be to leak this information to the New York Times so as to force him to respond.
To force emphasis. And indeed, it wasn't just Clark. George Tenet, the CIA director, was running around with his hair on fire, or its equivalent, as were a number of other people. It was still somewhat controversial, and some people just couldn't get the attention of the president, is what Judy said. Now, when we came to it, we found the intercept, that specific intercept, and who sent it, and we were trying to get it up journalistically, up the food chain, to where did it go? We got to a major general at one point, and it wasn't until we talked to Judy, and Judy didn't, we came to her, she had no idea, and it was because we'd already come up from below that she agreed to do this. Again, over the objections of her counsel, repeated after we showed up to make this official on the record.
And Rory, what were some of the other key disclosures Judy Miller made?
Well, I think that there were a number of key disclosures. I mean, one of them is about how media and politics is played in Washington. And so we see here's a top of Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter from the New York Times saying flat out, this is why people leak things to the New York Times often. It's not to inform the public. It's so that they can get the attention of people who are higher up in politics. The irony is that in each of these cases, in the Valerie Plame case, the one that Ms. Miller went to prison for, and in the one that we're currently talking about, she was leaked highly classified information and then didn't actually write a story. So, in effect, the leak didn't have the intended result, which is getting in the newspaper and getting the attention of the president and other higher-ups in Washington. So that's, I think, just as an insight into how the media and politics game is played and sometimes misplayed.
Yeah.
In addition, another, I think, key thing to emerge out of this is the, let's call it the if only. You know, what if an article had appeared, no matter how imperfect, let's say, in the New York Times, saying that there are, you know, warnings of an impending attack very large on the United States, the counterterrorism officials are extremely concerned. The events of 9, would this have prevented the attack? Probably not, but it might seriously have altered what happened on 9/11. I mean, just to give one example, if this information had been about the terrorist threats had been public after the first plane hit, perhaps so everybody would have known it was a terrorist attack. The people in the second tower might have been evacuated as opposed to being told to stay there and to risk and eventually lose their lives.
Well, and gentlemen, to me, the bottom line of this information, and I'm just starting to get familiar with it, so I don't want to be making a blanket statement, but I see this, and then I react to the testimony offered by General Hayden in the Intelligence Committee hearing yesterday. And he repeated what I consider to be a phony statement, it even rises to the level of a lie, that if we had had these surveillance programs in place prior to 9/11, we would have been able to stop the attacks on our country. And this shows that they had the signal interception. They had the intelligence.
Peter, I want to point out, this is not the only one. I mean, the NSA alone had reported more than 33 different warnings of this type in the run-up to September 11th. There were warnings that came from 14 other countries, from Russia, from Morocco, from France, and from Italy. Some of them were quite specific. Some of them mentioned planes that were going to be possibly hijacked and used as weapons. Others were specific about the time. Some even mentioned the Pentagon and the World Trade Center as attacks.
Yeah. Scott?
I don't want to leave the impression that we think Clark is a source or Tenet's the source. We don't know. They did not tell us the source, and her editor, Steve Engelberg, another Pulitzer Prize winner, who said, where's the third paragraph? You've got the who, but you don't have the who. You have the what they're saying, but you don't know who they are, where they're calling from, where they were at the time. It turns out she found out later they were in Yemen, which was indeed where that precise intercept we were chasing had been taken. They had a whole circuit covered down there.
Yeah.
And the terrorists, some of the people who were processing this stuff, said it's like they didn't care.
That's Scott Malone from NavySeals.com, along with Rory O'Connor from MediaChannel.org. Gentlemen, thanks for joining me today with this breaking news. And let's talk again in the near future, because I'd like to take more time to air out Able Danger and help our listeners understand what that's all about.
And Peter, we'd be happy to do it. There's much, much more to come.
I believe it. Thank you, Rory O'Connor and Scott Malone, here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Good to talk to you gentlemen today. It is a Free Speech Friday, and I'm honoring that. I want to take more of your calls. The toll-free line's available to you at 1-888-579-2540. And we've got Sid up next. Good afternoon, Sid. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
So pleased to be listening to the program.
Well, thank you, Sid.
It's just amazing. I'm so pleased. Anyway, I was listening to your program on Friday last.
Uh-huh.
And I feel the same way you do. I am so ashamed of the Democrats, of the people of this country, for not standing up and recognizing fascism when it's staring at them in the face. It amazes me.
And why is it, Sid,
okay to be spied upon? I mean,
why?
I'm absolutely astounded.
And why, Sid? Why?
Because they're complacent.
I mean, I get the feeling people are more focused on who's going to win American Idol than the preservation of our civil liberties and our privacy rights.
I agree. I so agree. And I do think they've been very seduced. I'm a former U.S. history teacher, and this strikes me so closely, like what the rise of fascism was in Germany in the 1930s. The misinformation that was bought hook, line, and sinker, because people wanted things to be okay.
Well, I guess that's where we are today, and it's really sorry to see it, isn't it?
We've got to get out. We've got to get out in the streets and make people aware of this. And frankly, I'm very disappointed in Dianne Feinstein also. She, and I'm also very disappointed in Hillary. I think both of them have rolled over, and they're going with the big business interests, because they want to be elected or they want to stay elected.
Well, and they're wired into the military-industrial complex.
The power structure. Yeah.
And so they see things differently than you and I do, and to a point, I respect that. But we look particularly to these women we're talking about for leadership on critical issues, and I find them following the Republican line far too often for my comfort.
Far too often. Too often.
Sid, I got to run to a break. Thanks a lot for checking in today.
Okay, thank you.
Nice to hear from you. More of your calls coming up next. The Free Speech Zone is available for you today. 1-888-579-2540. And in Sacramento, I'm sitting in for Christine Kraft this afternoon. Good to have you along. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
Do you struggle when it comes to teaching your child about the family rules? It's essential to learn to set limits when your children are young, and for parents to mean what they say and say what they mean. I'm Nurse Rona. Join me Sunday to discuss love with limits.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious.
Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Rights? You want to give up your privacy rights? Yes, let them persuade you that it's to protect you, that they need to intercept your phone calls, they need to rifle through your telephone records, check out your emails for any jokes about Osama bin Laden or Al-Qaeda. You give up a little liberty today, and you're going to get what's coming down the road. We must fight. We've got to stand for our constitutional rights and not be steamrolled or bulldozed by the Bush administration or some of the weak-kneed Democrats. It's a Free Speech Friday. I'm Peter B. Collins, and I want to hear from you. 888-579-2540. Howard is next in Carmel. Welcome, Howard. You're on the air.
Peter B., it's a great show. I very much enjoy listening to it.
Well, thank you, Howard. This is my therapy, and it saves me a bundle on psychotherapist.
I wanted to say what's happening is a lot easier to understand. If you remember the source, the original source of the Bush family fortune, the original source of the Bush family fortune was Prescott Bush, the grandfather of W, was Prescott Bush's early enthusiastic financial support for the Nazis, for Nazi Germany, and for IG Farben.
It was the Union Bank deal, and to be fair, the Walker family from St. Louis were actually the bankers. And when the Walkers married into the Bush family, it brought money and power together.
Right, and when you look at the parallels between the two administrations, you're looking at Rove being their equivalent of Goebbels. You're looking at IG Farben, which built concentration camps, being their equivalent of Halliburton, which is now building concentration camps down in the southern border.
Just detention centers.
Sorry?
They're just detention centers.
Sorry. That's all the concentration camps were, weren't they?
Yes.
And of course, if there's a pandemic, which I'm sure they're planning, if there's a pandemic, then suddenly we'll be quarantined. Mm-hmm. Now, isn't that the same thing as imprisoned?
In so many cases, it can be. Yes.
In Germany, Hitler came to power, came to absolute power, and got his agenda in place by burning his own Reichstag. I think that 9/11 is Bush's equivalent of that. And remember that long before 9/11, Wolfowitz suggested that what they needed was a Pearl Harbor type of event to get people to lay down their rights.
Well, and Howard, just the other day, David Ray Griffin, who wrote the book The New Pearl Harbor, and that phrase was lifted from the Project for a New American Century's own language.
Yeah.
He was on our program, and we were talking about these newly released photos from the Pentagon, and they prove absolutely nothing.
Right.
Do not provide the evidence that government officials and our lapdog media have tried to tell us.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing with Hayden, you know, if we don't trust him and he goes up to Congress, to the Intelligence Committee, to try and build trust. Avoiding answers is not the way to build trust.
Absolutely right. Howard, thanks for joining me today. Dave is next from Humboldt. Hello, Dave. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter B. You guys are on subject for me. What I have to give you is something I think you'll want to get Matt or Joe on right away. I just learned yesterday that in addition to all the other government agencies that caught this intelligence and forwarded it to the White House, so did the intelligence service of Venezuela and Cuba, both of whom got it several days in advance and forwarded it to the White House, the FBI, and the embassy and everything, so to make sure that they got the message.
And what are the sources for this information? I don't doubt you.
Okay.
I just don't know about it.
All I have, I don't have a site, is a StephanieMillerShow.com. She got it, and she said it. And mm-hmm. Her motto is, when news breaks here, it stays broken, as you know. So, yeah, anyway, what Hugo Chavez is doing right now is setting up his own 9/11 commission. And I think that is so newsworthy because the rest of the world is going to get to listen to witnesses firsthand. You know, it won't be allowed in the United States, maybe free speech TV or something. Maybe you can send somebody over there. But
mm-hmm.
I'm hoping one of you guys can get a hold of a contact either out of the Venezuelan embassy or maybe right out of the country and say, is what I'm hearing true, and can you put somebody on my show that'll tell us about this?
I'll look into that, Dave. I would love a truth commission on 9/11 wherever it can be held.
Yes, indeed. And I think you got it here.
Thank you very much. Susan in Santa Cruz, you're next on Free Speech Friday. This is Peter B.
Hi, Peter B.
Hello, Susan.
Hi. How are you all doing?
I'm holding up. I'm surprised on the coast we have these rainstorms coming
in.
Yeah. It may even reach Sacramento this weekend.
Yeah, well, that would be interesting. What I want to say, I guess, is on behalf of us, what do you call us? Weak-kneed Democrats.
I didn't call you that.
Well, I know, but I was thinking I'm probably part of that. But I really have been disappointed, too, and trying to figure out why the heck we don't move to change things or, you know, have a big strike or sciopero, as they say in Italy, where everybody just quits for a day,
because mm-hmm.
That would do a huge amount. But,
well, I agree with you. It is disappointing to me that we don't have more pushback from the American public on the USA Today story, on the NSA story from the New York Times in December, on the war in Iraq, on the tax cuts, the obscene tax cuts that they enacted this week.
Right.
And this is still sticking with me, Susan. I saw coverage on the PBS NewsHour about the tax cuts, and they ended the story by saying, Republicans say it will, you know, pump up the economy. Democrats believe the tax cuts mostly go to the rich.
Well, it's
That's
true.
Not a matter of belief.
Belief.
It is a matter of fact.
Yes.
And again, the media shrinks away from dealing facts out as facts.
Right. May I say what I want to say?
No.
just
whisper it into your lapel mic and the NSA will take it down.
No,
you go right ahead. That's why we're here.
What I've been looking at is my own reaction to things. And a long while ago, I guess about a year ago, I realized that I really was in post-traumatic stress from 9/11. And that most of us were, but weren't realizing it. And it really came home yesterday when I heard a discussion of loose change on Hal's show in the morning, on Hal's and Casey's show.
Yeah.
And I went there, and I started to watch that movie, and it was absolutely incredible what happened to me because I went into shock, literally. Even though I know a lot of this stuff, that thing puts it together in such a graphic way that you can't for 1 minute think this government didn't have everything to do with it.
Yeah.
And it's really scary, and I found myself in the shower, almost like a rape victim, trying to wash it all off me and do everything I could to get myself out of the shock that I felt. And I didn't even see the whole movie because I, by accident, turned the page on my computer. So,
well, Susan, let me suggest that you particularly look, if you haven't seen it yet, in Loose Change 9/11, there is a dramatic animated sequence that tries to depict the government's story about a plane banking sharply and flying into the Pentagon
and how
without hitting the ground.
The plane would have been on the ground, right?
Yeah. And the pictures so we
what
saw.
What I'm trying to say is that I think a lot of us really are still in shock, and that the whole thing that's going on is so completely horrific. It's so beyond our scope to even imagine that there are people who can be so completely evil.
You're right,
you know?
Because when you start to question the mythology of 9/11,
right.
you bump up against some ugly thoughts
right.
about
Very
fellow
ugly.
Americans
right.
and the depths to which they're willing to go to manipulate us. Susan, thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
That's all we have time for this hour. Thanks. More of your calls coming up as we continue Free Speech Friday. Toll free, 888-579-2540. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com will kick off the next hour, plus more of your calls on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Tom Hartman.
And over the last 3 days, the new conservative talking points that have been going out are blame it on Bill Clinton.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
The high gas prices, we got to shift the blame to the Democrats, say it's all because he didn't let them drill in Anwar. The real reason is because for almost 20 years now, the Republicans have prevented us from raising CAFE standards, the corporate average fuel efficiency standards. Average fuel efficiency of a car right now is back where it was in the 70s.
Tom Hartman, weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540. Tom Hartman.
And over the last 3 days, the new conservative talking points that have been going out are blame it on Bill Clinton.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
The high gas prices, we got to shift the blame to the Democrats, say it's all because he didn't let them drill in Anwar. The real reason is because for almost 20 years now, the Republicans have prevented us from raising CAFE standards, the corporate average fuel efficiency standards. Average fuel efficiency of a car right now is back where it was in the 70s.
Tom Hartman, weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Guards ambushed at Guantanamo.
We observed a detainee hanging sheets from the ceiling and preparing to hang himself.
Iraq's attempt at a new government comes up short.
They may well get it within a week. If they don't, I think we're just looking at more chaos.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The U.S. military today released details of an ugly incident yesterday at the Guantanamo Bay prison camp. When a prisoner in one unit tried to hang himself, Rear Admiral Harry Harris says guards rushed in to an ambush.
The detainees had slickened the floor of their block with feces, urine, and soapy water in an attempt to trip the guards. They then assaulted the guards with broken light fixtures, fan blades, and bits of metal.
The guards responded with rubber bullets. When it was over, six inmates were injured. Officials say the suicide attempt was a ruse, but earlier in the day, three prisoners tried to take their lives with prescription medicine that they'd been hoarding.
The Pentagon says, well, this shows that these are people bent on suicide and who, if they were free, would be suicide bombers.
CBS News correspondent David Martin. A United Nations group, the Committee Against Torture, issued a report today calling for Guantanamo to be shut down. This is CBS News foreign affairs analyst Pamela Falk.
The protests at Guantanamo and the suicide attempts and the UN Committee on Torture report all point to the fact that the international community is saying these are basic fundamental violations of human rights.
The State Department says torture by U.S. government agencies is prohibited around the world, including Guantanamo. Now this.
If you take pain relievers like Advil, Aleve, and Celebrex, you're taking an NSAID. And NSAIDs all work in a similar way. But Tylenol is different. Because Tylenol is not an NSAID. To learn more about how Tylenol is different, talk to your doctor and visit Tylenol.com. Stop. Think. Tylenol.com. Take only as directed.
So let's say you go shopping and you walk into the first store you come to. The store says, hey, no need to shop those other stores. We'll give you our price and theirs too. Well, you think that would save you time. But then you come to your senses. How do you really know if you're getting the best deal?
Car insurance websites that promise multiple rate quotes can't speak for GEICO. Shop for yourself at GEICO.com. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
11th hour negotiations in Baghdad failed to produce agreement on two major cabinet posts, defense and interior. Tomorrow, when the Prime Minister presents his government for parliamentary approval, those positions will be filled by temporary substitutes. CBS News correspondent Alan Pizzi says they hope to settle on permanent ministers within a week.
If they got a proper government with people everybody could trust, a government that could get down to business instead of wrangling about whether or not they've got the posts they want, they could actually get down to passing legislation, agreeing on the things that are needed to make this country work, I think it would make a difference. It's the only thing probably that will make a difference.
Reportedly, several hundred U.S. troops on standby in Kuwait are being sent into Iraq to bolster security as the new government takes shape. The Senate has adjourned for the weekend, leaving the immigration issue unresolved. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
Many Senate Republicans still don't like the immigration bill that President Bush and most Democrats support, but they did make some changes this week that Texas Senator John Cornyn says makes it better.
A good week for the cause of securing our borders and restoring public respect for our laws.
Changes include a provision declaring English the national language, building 400 miles of triple-layer fence along the Mexican border, and limiting a guest worker program to 200,000 new immigrants a year. This is still a long ways from done, though, and the Senate resumes debate next week. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The Senate passed two language measures, one declaring English the national language, the other saying it's the common and unifying tongue. The White House says President Bush supports both of them. A drunken driving accident has ended the career of Oklahoma State basketball coach Eddie Sutton. He announced his retirement today.
I've had my time, and what a time it was. But now it is over. It is time to move forward for the greater good.
In February, Sutton crashed his car on the way to the airport for a road game. He later pleaded no contest to DUI charges. 8 years after a Colorado ski resort was firebombed, four people are under indictment. Environmental extremists claim the blaze was set because some endangered wild cats were threatened. The federal prosecutor says the attack was part of a larger eco-terrorism conspiracy. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Mom, it's Becky. For graduation, please get me a Sprint wireless phone. One that has a camera and a camcorder and comes in different colors. Oh, and I can watch TV on and listen to music and comes in...
Want a phone that's packed with features? Go to Radio Shack and get the MM8300 by Sanyo free after a $50 mail-in rebate and a new two-year subscriber agreement. Don't just get a phone, get a Sprint phone at Radio Shack today. Good through 6306 for new customers after $80 Radio Shack instant rebate and credit approval. $36 activation and $200 early termination fees apply. Offer not available in all markets. Restrictions apply. See materials in store for details.
Welcome back to Sports Beat with me, Dan Stevens, and we've got Nancy on a car phone.
Dan, I just missed a turn. Now should I take a right or a left here?
You know this is Sports Beat, don't you?
To easily get back on track when you miss a turn, you want to ask TomTom, not Dan.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you where you're going.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
At Cape Canaveral,
and the Peter B. Collins Show continues here on Free Speech Friday. Trying to set a new personal record for how many listener phone calls we can take today, so see if you can help me out. My number is toll-free, 1-888-579-2540. I'll repeat that for the NSA. Hi, Benny. 1-888-579-2540 puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show. Full information, we are live on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz. We're live on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. And we are en vivo, all the way live today on KSAC 1240, Talk City in Sacramento. Sitting in for Christine Kraft today. She'll be back with you on Monday. And our program's also heard in Phoenix on the new KPHX 1480, the new progressive talk station in the Phoenix area. Full information and archive programs available for you at peterbcollins.com. And every week, we take time to talk with one of my favorite folks in the blogosphere. He blogs at bradblog.com, Brad Friedman. Hey, Brad, how are you today?
Hey, Peter, how are you? You don't have to repeat the number for the NSA. I think they've already got it. And if they don't have yours, I think they're already listening in on mine anyway.
All right, and let's make sure they have bradblog.com, because there's information there that every American, even NSA employees, should know about.
Yes, they might change their tune if they had an idea what's really going on
And you follow a lot of important issues, including free and fair elections in this country. We had another meltdown in Pennsylvania this week.
Yeah.
And your reporting discovered that Diebold has been well aware of some of the key flaws in their machines for some time now.
Yeah, a couple of things. With the big primary that they had there last Tuesday, lots of problems reported, amongst them hundreds of machines that failed in both Philadelphia and on the other side of the state in Pittsburgh. In addition to that, yes, the big story this week, we've talked the last week or two about this extraordinary flaw, and I haven't come up with a good word for it yet because it's hardly a flaw. It was a feature built into Diebold touchscreen voting machines by design that essentially allows the entire system, the system software, the election software, the firmware, the BIOS of the system, to be completely overwritten and changed within about 1 minute's time, no password necessary. This was built into the Diebold touchscreen machines. It was recently revealed in a test in Emory County, Utah, and of course nobody bothered to, at least Diebold didn't bother to tell anybody about it. The folks in Pennsylvania found out about it just days before their election, and it has caused shockwaves around the country. They had to lock down their systems, their Diebold touchscreen systems, to completely rebuild them from scratch in trying to mitigate this problem. It's made its way, I'm happy to say, into the mainstream media, New York Times, AP, everywhere else. But what we have subsequently learned this week is that, guess what? Diebold not only knew about this problem, and of course they did because they built it in on purpose, but they were warned about it back in a security risk assessment report back in 2004.
So this is the red team exercise in Maryland?
That's correct. The state of Maryland commissioned this thing. They actually commissioned two different reports. One of them has been, two-thirds of it has been redacted, so we haven't gotten to see what that said. But the one that is out there describes pretty much exactly what was found in Emory County, although what was found in Emory County adds to that with two different levels of vulnerabilities and some important additional details. But the larger point being here, Diebold not only knew about it in 2004, was warned about it, said that they would take care of it, and here we are in 2006, and these brand new machines that are going out all around the country still have the problem. They have done nothing about it. And computer scientists are calling this action just criminal on the part of Diebold, and I have to agree. So there's going to be very direct ramifications, I think, because of that.
And did you manage to get a comment from David Baer, who is the sole spokesperson for Diebold nationwide?
No, for some reason he doesn't like talking to me, and I don't know why.
Uh-huh.
But he is the only one authorized to talk about these election machines right now, and they have really locked down at Diebold. They have really clamped down, so he's the only one authorized to lie about their machines, and he's doing so rather effectively. Another story that I ran earlier this week showed that the notification that they sent to the state of Pennsylvania about this problem, the Secretary of State then took that report, that notification, and essentially retyped it, probably cut and pasted it, I mean, because it is almost word for word identical to what they then put out to their county election directors, in which, of course, Diebold says that the risk to this vulnerability is low. So that's what they, in good turn, told their election directors, and also in good turn, that is then what the media picked up and, you know, reported that, oh, Pennsylvania says the risk is low.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they did no apparently independent checking. They just retyped whatever Diebold told them, underscoring once again the dangers that we get into here when you've got private companies running our public elections and elections officials who really don't have the time or technical know-how to dispute what they're told by the company. They just pass it on along as if it's an official statement. It's a scam.
I do trust my auto mechanic with my car. But I don't trust Diebold with my vote.
Well, you shouldn't. And if something goes wrong with your car, you know, that's your problem, and you can sue the manufacturer. You can sue the mechanic if you want. But
yeah, I just put another $600 in his kid's college account today.
Yeah, well, that's what they're doing. Believe me, that's what they're doing at these states. I mean, they're finding that the maintenance fees for these dumb machines are thousands of percent higher than what they had planned them to be. And, you know, fortunately, our election systems are not designed to be run the way you run your private car.
Yeah.
But that is, however, how they are being run, and democracy is all the worse for it.
Now, Brad, at BradBlog, right in the frame of this story that we're talking about, there is what appears to be an ad from Diebold Corporation that has a big pair of dice. Red and white dice, you know, with the white ivory features, and it says, "Democracy Reloaded, life's a crapshoot, elections don't have to be," and then the Diebold logo. Is this a spoof, or is this really part of their ad program?
No, that is a spoof, and
okay.
I had hoped that would be clear, but, you know, these days you never know with these guys. But, yes, indeed, that is a spoof. They did not say that in an ad, although they might as well have.
Okay, well, it was very effective, and you got me.
Thank you, sir.
We're talking with Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com. Another post that's on the blog this week is about John Conyers, and he published an op-ed piece in the Washington Post that was reprinted in the San Francisco Chronicle today, Friday, and it has to do with all the speculation that if the Democrats regain control of the House, that he would be chair of the Judiciary Committee, and that forthwith he would launch an impeachment project.
Yeah. Well, It's not actually speculation so much as it is a concerted attack by the clearly by the right wing. This really happened in lockstep last a week ago Sunday, when all of the Sunday talk shows, all of the hosts for those shows and so forth, all of a sudden they came out with these tough questions about, hey, won't Democrats just aren't they going to impeach the president as soon as they get in power this November? Isn't John Conyers, since he'll be the incoming Judiciary Committee chair, isn't he going to begin impeachment proceedings right away? And basically, the Republicans are now trying to scare their voters or scare their base by saying, look, vote for us, otherwise we'll lose.
Well, and Karl Rove has articulated that in speeches to partisan Republican groups.
Right. Look, this is what they do. They don't win by saying our policies are better and here's why. They say you need to be frightened and here's why. And Conyers has come out, you know, it should be made clear. As far as I know, John Conyers has never called for the impeachment of George W. Bush. What he has done is filed a very responsible resolution saying, look, there is so many problems and scandals and things we don't know, and this Congress has failed to do their job of their constitutional duty of oversight, that, you know, this is a resolution calling for a select committee modeled after the Watergate Select Committee, which basically, you know, would be a specially selected committee of equal parts, both Democrat and Republican, to look into all of these things, get answers on them, and then refer them to the full Judiciary Committee if they feel that there may possibly be impeachable offenses here. It's completely appropriate. It's their duty. It's Congress's duty to do this.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing outrageous about it, and it's certainly not a rush to impeachment, as the cretins on the right these days are trying to paint it as, and trying to use whatever they can to discredit John Conyers, even, I know this will shock you, even if they have to make up stuff to attack him.
Well, Brad, as a cretin from the left, I have mixed feelings, because I do respect John Conyers, and I understand that he has never flatly called for impeachment. But I believe that a process leading toward impeachment would help energize, galvanize Democratic voters, and even open the eyes of some Republicans. So I'm going to toss this out to our listeners over the rest of this hour and get some feedback from people on the Conyers position, the Pelosi position, and their personal desire for impeachment. And as we set that up, Neil Young has provided the soundtrack for this discussion today from his brand new CD called Living with War. And I first heard about it at BradBlog.com. This one's called Let's Impeach the President. Thanks, Brad. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, buddy.
All right. So let me ask you, do you support impeachment, or do you think that advocating impeachment creates too big an opening for the Republicans to play the fear card to their base? That's our question of the moment, and I'd like to hear your thoughts. It's Free Speech Friday, and my lines are open for you, toll-free at 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540.
Just who is this Robert Owen who is running for sheriff of Monterey County?
Robert Owen lives in Soledad, and he has 30 years of experience in law enforcement. Robert Owen is a Monterey County jail sergeant who has dedicated his life to protect and serve every Monterey County resident. Robert Owen is a devoted and loving father of five children. I should know because Robert Owen is my husband, and he will be the finest sheriff Monterey County has ever had.
Paid for by Robert Owen, candidate for Monterey County Sheriff.
This week on Rock Roll Real Estate, meet some of the top real estate agents here in the Bay Area. You'll learn about where the best open houses are this Sunday. That's this week on Rock Roll Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. Your number one source for all your real estate needs heard all over Northern California. To be a guest on Rock Roll Real Estate, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roll Real Estate. You can also listen online at www.rockrollandrealestate.com.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's a taste you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7. Every day, have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery.
In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
KRXA 540 looks at your traffic on this Friday afternoon. Here's Amy Knight.
An afternoon filled with stalls and accidents, even some debris. South 17 before the summit, a van partially blocking the right lane. Also South 17 at Granite Creek Road in Scotts Valley, an accident reported there. Watch out for wood in the roadway. Northbound 1 at Fremont Boulevard is in the second lane from the left. And northbound 1 at Aguajito Road, there's two surfboards in the lanes. In Gonzales, North 101 at Alta Street, three boxes of vegetables in the left lane there. And watch out for a crash, 152 at 156. Highway Patrol on scene with that. This report brought to you by Orkin Pest Control. Did you know that ants talk by smell? The Orkin man knows. He's trained to sniff out bugs and remove them. Remember, if it bugs you, bug the Orkin man at 1-800-ORKIN-MAN. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. I have declared it Free Speech Friday, and I welcome your calls. If you've never talked to me before, hey, take a chance. See what happens. 1-888-579-2540. Toll free. That's 888-579-2540. And up next, we go to Virginia in Prunedale. Hello, Virginia. I'm Peter B.
Hi, it's Eugenia.
Oh, it's Eugenia. I got Virginia on my screen. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. The lady that called just before the break described her anxiety when she saw that movie.
Yeah, 9/11 Loose Change, and
yeah.
she was referring to it as her own kind of post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Well, if you remember, when those planes, they showed that film over and over and over and over. So the threat kept being pushed in to everybody's mind.
Mm-hmm.
The whole country was watching, just absolutely, awestruck.
Yeah.
Okay? That worries me so much. That's what's wrong with the country. Until you run into something else that triggers that, like she did watching that movie, you can live your life and not just absolutely not even think about it. Until something triggers the thought. That's
mm-hmm.
what happened to her.
Yeah.
And she became aware of it. Now, everybody's basically, you might say, in denial. Okay?
And well, I think there are a number of reactions, Virginia. I think that some people do go into denial because it's too painful to face the reality.
But
and then there are others who go into vengeance mode. There are others who go into power mode. There are others who go into manipulation and exploitation mode. And so there are a whole lot of different reactions out there, and a lot of them are unhealthy.
But the main reaction that we're seeing is inaction, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's really moving. Like this thing with the land. What I find interesting is they set up the march for the immigrants. Somebody set that up, okay? And the timing on it is perfect. To keep people from marching against the Iran war.
Well, I have to say that there was an attempt to stage a national demonstration on the third anniversary of our invasion of Iraq, and it fizzled. And the immigration marches did not fizzle. And what that really shows is that the Republicans are on to the right wedge issue this year, and they're going to ride it as far as they can. Thank you, Eugenia. Patricia, you're next in Sacramento. Thanks for calling today.
Hey, Peter B. Great show, by the way.
Well, thank you.
I just wanted to quickly remark on General Hayden's hearings yesterday.
Uh-huh.
That kind of ties into this wiretapping and why people find it so easily to say, you know, oh, well, they're just, you know, I'm not doing anything wrong. Well, let's just throw in a few quick points here. He mentioned when he was asking Hayden, he said the CIA was under pressure to connect Saddam Hussein to 9/11. And basically what happened was he said that the CIA still made their conclusions that they were highly dubious that Saddam had any ties to the terrorists. Yet Douglas Feith, who was undersecretary of Paul Wolfowitz, still made his own conclusions that they were tied together.
That's the Office of Special Plans, the same place that was paying Chalabi $340,000 a month for whatever info he could provide, true or false, and he came through.
Exactly, and let's not forget Mr. Chalabi, who was, I don't know, he embezzled how much? $20 million from a bank. This guy counterfeited money, so...
In Jordan, yes. He's a fugitive from the law.
Yeah, and on top of that, I think the other question that Senator Carl Levin asked was that he made it seem in effect that General Hayden was not telling us the whole, you know, what is this entire program that we're talking about with this wiretapping? Because it's not just international calls coming from, you know, another country into the United States. These are also domestic calls that General Hayden would not answer questions on.
Well, not only that, he refuses to even acknowledge the information from the USA Today article. He offered no direct comment on the revelations from the New York Times about the eavesdropping program you just referred to.
Right.
And so there are a whole lot of denials out there that are not attached to anything specific. And
absolutely.
They just want us to trust them. Hey, everything we're doing is lawful and, you know, not one photon beyond. Don't you love that? Patricia, I got to jump. Thanks for your
Thank
call.
You.
Bonnie next in Sacramento. You're on the air. Hello, Bonnie.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
Oh, good. I am so excited to reach you. I've got two things. One is very short. It's related to Brad and Diebold.
Go right ahead.
Sacramento Bee endorsed Deborah Bowen for Secretary of State with one little caveat. We worry about some of Bowen's campaign statements that seem a little too paranoid about electronic voting.
Oh. She's the one who's got it right.
Yes, she has. I've written a letter to the editor. So I wanted to share that one. The other is impeachment.
I'll tell you what, Bonnie, let me share one thing with you, and then I'm going to hold you over to the next segment because
okay.
I can tell you I have more to say. And that is, where can I find my Conyers article? Conyers, at the end of his op-ed piece, said, most important, before we have another presidential election, I believe we need to pass laws protecting the integrity of our electoral system, the very foundation of our democracy.
Absolutely.
Those are important words. Stand by. We'll come right back to you, Bonnie.
Thanks.
More of your calls coming up, too. And State Superintendent of Public Instruction Jack O'Connell will join us in the next half hour right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Join R.J. Moyer for his new weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show coming out of your speakers or in those earbuds. And thank you for making such a nice selection. In Sacramento today, I'm sitting in for Christine Kraft. She'll return Monday. And it is a Free Speech Friday declared by me, Peter B. Collins. And we'll get more of your calls on in just a moment. If you'd like to grab a line, go ahead. 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. And I want to return to Bonnie in Sacramento because she had more to say. Hey, Bonnie, go ahead.
Hi again. I want to talk about Assemblyman Paul Koretz of West Hollywood. West Hollywood's Assembly Joint Resolution for the impeachment of Bush and Cheney.
Right. He was on our program about 2 weeks ago.
Okay. Well, I just want to make sure that people know that it's still happening, and that if they're in California, call your assemblyman to support this, because Koretz needs as much support as possible to slam it through.
Now, Bonnie, I have no question about the basis of the proposals for impeachment. I support that. But I'm wrestling right now with the question of, as Bush would call it, strategery. And we've heard Karl Rove express delight that he thinks Democrats will make impeachment an issue and a promise or a commitment to the American people if the Democrats are given control of the House and or the Senate. And hold on a sec.
Okay, sorry.
You know, I take the position that given the nature of this administration's behavior and the flimsy basis for the impeachment of Bill Clinton just a few years back, that this is a slam dunk in terms of just concept. But I do understand that people like Nancy Pelosi and John Conyers have an eye on the politics of the issue and say, well, wait a minute. If we get into power, we can impeach. But if we promise to impeach, they might block us from getting into power.
Okay.
How do you deal with that?
All right. I have a different slant on it.
Okay.
I have a slant. It's one of the things that I hear listening to the radio or talking to people, is that people are distracted, disjointed, disillusioned. What's wrong with those Democrats? Why don't they do anything? And they don't know what to do. And so that here is a way at grassroots, whether in fact there are things out there for individuals, cities, states, counties, all to get into the impeachment thing. But so, as far as we've got somebody in California who has started it, if we can get interest,
but Bonnie, to my central point, to my central point,
it doesn't have to happen.
Okay, but Bonnie, answer my central point. Does it make sense to push this forward and create a fat, juicy target for Karl Rove and the Republicans?
I don't think that's relevant.
Why not?
I think that what are the bigger goal, I don't think we're going to get to impeachment during this, but we're going to drum up a base of people who are interested in Democrats again.
Mm-hmm.
That we're going to make it look like the 60s again, hopefully.
Okay.
That interest
will be out
there.
Well, Bonnie, let me stop you there. I want to hear from some other callers this afternoon, and I want to talk about this issue because my bottom line is I think the Democrats would net benefit from standing up and expressing clearly the misdeeds of this administration and the need for change and the need for impeachment if necessary.
Well,
I also think that there is a downside to it, and that's the calculation that I think is driving Nancy Pelosi and John Conyers to make their most recent statements. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk again soon. We'll take more of your calls in just a moment. But right now, we're joined by Jack O'Connell. He is the State Superintendent of Public Instruction. Jack, welcome to our program today.
Thank you, Peter. Nice to be with you again.
Always good to talk to you. And interesting story, you have appealed to the California State Supreme Court the decision last week of an Alameda County Superior Court judge which struck down your legislation, the state high school exit exam legislation, and kind of put that into limbo. And I have mixed feelings about this, Jack, because I appreciate the effort of you and others to raise standards of our graduating seniors. On the other hand, there is a downside to some 47,000 12th graders in this state who will essentially carry a black mark going forward, and they're not all responsible for their academic failures or, more importantly, for their failure on the exit exam. So how do you balance those competing values?
Peter, very fair characterization, as always, from you, and I appreciate the opportunity to share a couple ideas and thoughts with you. One is we are totally committed to those a little over 40,000 students now who have not yet passed the high school exit exam. And I'm equally committed to the over 400,000 students whom we've told for several years now, in fact, 7 years now, that the high school diploma of the future would be worth more than the high school diploma of today. And for those 40-plus thousand students that have yet to pass, it simply means their high school education is not complete. We want them to go to summer school, and we'll have another administration of the exit exam after summer. We want them to go to adult school. We want them to go to high school for a fifth year, do independent study, take classes online, and you can still go to community college. One of the features of having the exit exam, and I think our school districts have done a pretty good job, we've identified those students that need more help, and we're getting those students more help. I mean, if there's irony involved in this, I believe that the plaintiffs, and they started out with 10, I believe they're down to 6 now, who brought this case forward, you know, they are the ones that we're most, you know, committed to and getting some help. And the irony is that, you know, if that with the high school exit exam now in limbo, as you accurately put it, and it's creating confusion and uncertainty as a result of this judicial decision, these people are now not getting the help that we're trying to get them. I know when we exempted special ed, which we did about 4 or 5 months ago, students who were enrolled in before school classes, after school classes, classes during lunch on Saturdays, classes online, taking advantage of smaller class sizes. The special ed students who were getting this additional help, so many immediately just ceased getting that help. And so we want to identify those students that need help and then target our instructional strategies to help them.
And I think you can tell, Jack O'Connell, that I do support the striving for higher standards. We do want a diploma to mean something. We don't want people just to be, you know, passed through high school and on to the next level when they clearly aren't competent. The other side of the issue is, though, that not every student gets the same quality of education, the same level of attention. And just as an example, the Oakland School District is under state control right now because they have bungled the job so badly over a long period of time. Is it fair to take, say, a student from Elk Grove or Fair Oaks, you know, a nice suburb of Sacramento, and put them on a par with a substandard school in Oakland or Richmond?
Or pick a school in your area. I was a graduation speaker in Santa Cruz last year, a high school graduation speaker, an outstanding school. Schools in your wide listening audience do very, very well. But I believe it is still fair. While education and the education delivery system is not equitable across the entire state, we know that, we admit that, and we're working on that. We've also been able to target more resources to those schools that have the largest number of students that need additional assistance. And I'm afraid if we turn the clock back and have the diploma once again simply be a certificate of seat time, we're not going to get those students the help that they need. We are, in fact, Peter, in my opinion, doing a tremendous disservice to those very students, about 10% that have yet to pass the exam, and we're setting them up for failure. We should not just hand them a piece of paper, let them walk across the stage, and not have them have the necessary skills to contribute to this new economy. As you know, it's much more competitive in the workforce today. You have to have problem-solving skills. You have to be able, that's why algebra is important. You have to be proficient technologically. You have to be a critical thinker. You have to be able to communicate. That's why there is a writing requirement for the high school exit exam as well. And what we are testing are eighth grade standards in math and 10th grade standards in English, and these are today the minimum standards necessary for people to be able to contribute to our competitive, demanding, global, evolving economy.
Well, you make a strong case, Superintendent, and I appreciate it.
Peter, I'm passionate on the issue. It has already had a positive impact, and I understand the issue of not all educational opportunities are equal throughout the state, mm-hmm. and we're working on that. We have an achievement gap. But I can also tell you, we have in this state 1,100 high schools, and we have at each of those schools, your example in Oakland, and I'm acutely familiar with Oakland since I'm running that school district because mm-hmm. of bad decisions in the past. Yeah. I know why you picked that example, and it's another good call on your part. But of those 1,100 high schools, we've had a majority of high school seniors, the class of 2006, at every single one, pass the high school exit exam.
Mm-hmm. Jack, let me ask you one more question before you have to go, and that's at the other end of the educational spectrum. Prop 82 would provide preschool for all. This is Rob Reiner's latest initiative. I'm generally in support. My biggest concern is that it would provide benefits to upper-income families that currently are paying for their own preschool. On balance, do you support Prop 82?
Strongly support Proposition 82. When you talk about inequities in education and an achievement gap, the reality, Peter, is we have an achievement gap even before students get to kindergarten. And I'm firmly believe, and it's based upon data and research, and I would cite the RAND study out of Rutgers just released earlier this week, that preschool for all is one of the best ways we can close that achievement gap.
All right, sir. Well, thank you very much for joining us today, and you're running unopposed, I think, in the primary in June.
Actually, this is the nonpartisan job, which I enjoy, and everybody knows I'm a registered Democrat, and but there are a total of 5 people in the primary election, and as my wife Dory likes to say, I hope everybody will punch me out come election day in 2 weeks.
Okay, I better read my voter guide. Thanks a lot, Jack.
Always nice to meet you, Steve. Thank you,
yeah,
sir. Bye-bye.
Good to talk to you. That's Jack O'Connell, and he's got 4 opponents. I'll have to do some reading. But I think he's done a pretty good job of state superintendent of public instruction. We're going to continue on Free Speech Friday. If you've got a line like Matt, hold on. We're going to be with you in just a moment. And others can join me, too. Toll free, 1-888-579-2540. You can talk about impeaching the president. You can talk about NSA spying. You can talk about the high school exit exam. Or you can bring up a topic of your own. Any call is welcome on any subject from any point of view from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Is that clear enough? I'm Peter B. Collins.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
The Del Monte Cafe features authentic American food carefully prepared at very reasonable prices. Hungry for delicious omelets, pancakes, sandwiches, and pasta dishes? Come visit us for breakfast and lunch at the Del Monte Cafe, located at 1642 Del Monte Boulevard in Seaside. We're open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday from 7:30 to 2 p.m. For takeout orders, call us at 394-7851. That's 394-7851, the Del Monte Cafe, 1642 Del Monte Boulevard, Seaside.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
KRXA 540 looks at your traffic on this Friday afternoon. Here's Amy Knight.
We still have problems on 17, South 17 after the summit. We have an accident clearing on the shoulder, so expect delays. Also in Boulder Creek, Highway 9 at Loman Street, an injury accident just coming in with two cars off to the shoulder. Drive with caution through Gilroy, Poleline Road at 152. Reports of an overturned car on its side. Paramedics should be there on scene because of the injuries involved in that crash. And North 101 at Berta Canyon Road in Prunedale, a big rig blocking the exit lane there. Watch out in Salinas, South 101 after Main Street. There's a large metal chain in both of the lanes. This report brought to you by Oregon Pest Control. Did you know that thousands of termites could be attacking your home and you don't even see them until the damage is done? Well, the Oregon Man knows. Call 1-800-ORCAN-MAN and get your free inspection today. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Amy. And who's responsible for this rain?
Oh, you are, Peter.
Oh, I didn't realize that. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I have declared this a free speech Friday. I'll tip you off if you've been thinking about calling the program. Go ahead and do it. We have no guests scheduled for the remainder of the show, and I'd like to talk to you. My toll-free number is 888-579-2540. Get out that fancy cell phone, that BlackBerry, the Trio. Yeah, you know how to make it work. You dial 1 and then 888-579-2540. That puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show. And if you want more information or you want to send me an email, go to peter@peterbcollins.com. That's the email address, the website, peterbcollins.com. You know how all that works, and I would be happy to hear from you. Also, at the website, you can get links to podcasts and archive shows, live stream, and all that kind of stuff. So that's the latest here. 888-579-2540 is my number. And Matt is holding. Thanks for holding on, Matt. You're on the air.
Well, hello.
Hi.
I'd like to point out something. The reason people, I talk to a lot of people, and the reason they don't participate in the system is they don't see they have power in it. And you go back to Rousseau and what he said in The Social Contract, which is the worse a government behaves, the more people will turn to their private interest.
Hmm.
And that's what people are doing. And they don't see that it makes any difference. Courts overturn their initiatives. It goes on and on. And so the people are against the war. We're still there. And they don't see that it matters. Until you change this system where people feel powerless, you will not change anything.
Well, you make a very good point. And I do understand that many Americans feel left out of our system. They feel their vote doesn't count.
But they're right.
And what's hard, well, but they're right on one level, but the other side of it is that this nation is more evenly divided than in my lifetime, and I'm in my 50s. And we have seen these really close elections, and I think there was fraud in both Florida and Ohio in both 2000 and 2004, respectively.
Well, drop
but
the word
when you look,
you'll be right.
Pardon me?
Drop the word think and you'll be right.
Okay.
I mean, if people don't keep, if they keep qualifying things like that, we know there was fraud. There's
okay.
No question. We
but
know
my point is that still, you know, the elections couldn't have been gamed or stolen if they weren't so close. And one of the reasons is there are a lot of people who just don't bother to vote because they don't think it will matter.
That's
yet we have
say,
seen
yeah.
that every vote really does count. And if every vote were counted, we'd probably have had a Gore and possibly a Kerry administration by now.
Well, what I was pointing out is that even if the votes all do count, correct,
mm-hmm.
then how do courts overturn an initiative passed by the majority of the voters? Where's we the people in that?
Well, there are a lot of inequities of that sort, and I understand your point.
Well,
we also see the Republicans who tout states' rights and then interfere with Oregon's death with dignity law and with California's medical marijuana law.
Well, as Thoreau put it, there's 1,000 people hacking at the branches of evil for everybody that hacks at the root. And the root of this is the people are not in power here. Period.
Right. I thank you for that point, and you're very well read. Thanks for the Rousseau quotes. Now to Kaysen. Hello, Kaysen. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi. just a quick question, maybe change the subject a little bit.
You can talk about anything.
Well, I don't hear that very often.
Except the Duke rape case. I'm not interested in talking about that. I'll leave that to Nancy Grace!
Yeah.
Nancy will talk about it until you're blue in the face! Sorry.
Some things that people think are important.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was there's a big thing on the news about these new torpedoes that the Iranians supposedly had developed.
I've heard about it.
Yeah, and I was wondering if you had any more information, because all of a sudden there's nothing about it. You know, an offensive weapon like that against United States warships could be devastating in a place like the Persian Gulf.
Well, I've also heard some reports that there's a new generation of missiles or rockets that the Iranian military has acquired. Mm-hmm. And this does lead to concern that's been expressed by callers. And I want to single out a woman who I think deserves credit, Eugenia, who calls the program on a regular basis. She's the one who put together a few different pieces of information, which is that some of our reports on this program indicate that an attack on Iran could take place as early as 2 to 3 weeks from now, and that the contingency planning requires 3 carrier groups to be deployed in the Persian Gulf area. And as of a couple of days ago, we understood that one carrier was present, I think the Abraham Lincoln, another was on the way, and a third had been dispatched from Norfolk. And so if these reports are true, what Eugenia raised was the question that we could have carrier groups trapped in the Persian Gulf and sitting ducks, or at least rich targets, for the torpedoes and the missiles that you and I have been describing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's quite a strategic change, I would think. You know, usually United States forces aren't on the defensive when it comes to military action, and anything could happen at that point.
Well, and Kaysen, once again, you know, I want to underscore that this administration seems completely reckless in its approach to Iran, and seems to think that we could go in there with aerial strikes, missile strikes, and knock out some of their key facilities, including the Natanz nuclear facility, and that they wouldn't do anything back. They wouldn't try to cut off our oil supply or jack up the price of oil even further, that they wouldn't encourage their Shiite friends in Iraq to make more trouble for us. I mean, I just don't get it. And, you know, I do respect that there is a growing threat. It's not an imminent threat, but a growing threat from the provocative words and actions of the government in Tehran. But it does not amount to an immediate threat to the United States of America, and that's the way it's being treated.
Well, you know, I mean, speaking as an American, they seem a bit radical in their politics and religion, but you can imagine they're a bit radicalized since they've been various governments have been overthrown in the past, in the 50s and such, with the Shah.
Well, and don't you think that we come off as a fundamentalist religious regime?
I got to put my hand over my eyes sometime.
Yeah.
And I hate to say I'm ashamed, but it's the situation is getting so out of control, and people seem to be taking the party line, or, you know, whatever comes through the TV is the truth.
Yeah.
And you really have to dig these days and read between the lines, left or right.
You do. Kaysen, thank you for a thoughtful call. Good to talk to you today. Now to Becky in Sacramento here in Free Speech Friday. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, Becky.
Hello. I was kind of disappointed that nobody bothered to bring up the fact when you were talking to Jack O'Connell that there's a 50% dropout rate. In addition to the 40,000 kids who have not passed the exit exam, you have another 50% of the population, half of them, that aren't passing the exit exam also.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, you mean because they drop out?
Right.
Uh-huh.
So that's a whole lot of kids that are getting left behind.
Well, I'm sorry I didn't bring that up. That is an oversight on my part. I was focused primarily on the legal actions that are currently in play. But I think that is a good point.
Yes, and the exit exam, of course, goes into all of the whole thing on testing, which, you know, testing is very, any kind of standardized testing is going to be very discriminatory.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm one of those people who did well on tests and probably didn't work as hard as I should in high school. And so I'm empathetic to people who work really hard and don't do so well on the tests.
Right. I always scored really high on tests. In fact, I passed a front-end alignment test for certification. But trust me, you don't want me aligning your car.
well, that's honest.
I got 70% on the test, though. It's just being able to take tests well.
To give you a similar example, in my youth, I took a series of exams to qualify for licenses from the Federal Communications Commission so I could operate radio transmitters. And I don't have a clue about plate voltage and output wattage and, multi-path signals and all that stuff, but I passed the test.
Right. And so that being able to pass a standardized multiple-choice test doesn't really tell you much about what a person can or can't do. It simply tells you what their socioeconomic status is, and whether or not they're good at passing tests. My daughter can't pass tests at all, mm-hmm. and yet she can do math well above anything I can do.
Yeah.
I bet I could beat her on the test.
Okay. Well, Becky, thanks for making the point. Good to hear from you today.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Appreciate that call. All right. Next hour, it's all your calls. Free Speech Friday. No guests scheduled, just you and me. And I want you to share your thoughts with me about impeachment, about the NSA and General Hayden's promotion to the Central Intelligence Agency, about the high school exit exam, about voting machines. Anything else you want to bring into the conversation, feel free. My number is toll-free, 888-579-2540, and I'm Peter B. Collins.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, Lou Miliano. Details coming out today of trouble at Gitmo. CBS News correspondent David Martin says the home to some 400 detainees, Guantanamo Bay, became a lightning rod of discontent.
Guantanamo commanders describe a near riot that began yesterday when two prisoners tried to kill themselves with an overdose of drugs. As described by the commander of the guards in a telephone conference call, other prisoners faked a hanging, and when U.S. troops rushed in to stop it, they were ambushed. Attacked with fan blades and light fixtures, the guards were almost overwhelmed. At the same time, rioting broke out in other cells.
Martin says the uprising was controlled without any serious injuries. Meanwhile, a U.N. panel is calling for the detention center to be closed. CBS News Foreign Affairs analyst Pamela Folk.
The United States is under no international legal obligation to close the base or to even respond to this report. The impact of this report, more than any legal requirement to reply, is that the world community yet again says it's time to close Guantanamo.
Folks says the Committee Against Torture says Gitmo should be closed and detainees permitted access to the judicial process or released. A town hall-style meeting at the Pentagon today with Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld saying the National Guard troops being deployed to the border with Mexico will not be in law enforcement.
They'll be flying UAVs or they'll be doing construction projects. They're not going to be out with guns standing on the border shooting at people who are trying to come across the border. They're not in law enforcement. They're not going to be doing that type of thing.
Rumsfeld says they'll be doing their regular jobs of engineering, surveillance, and only be deployed during their annual two-week training period. Big day tomorrow in the Big Easy, the mayoral runoff in New Orleans. Incumbent Mayor Ray Nagin and challenger Lieutenant Governor Mitch Landrieu. And CBS News correspondent Byron Pitts is there.
I think there's so much interest in what goes on in New Orleans because the world watched how this city was just devastated by Hurricane Katrina. And so many people, not just in New Orleans, are invested in the future of the city.
More deaths are being reported from among Hurricane Katrina refugees evacuated to other states, so the state of Louisiana is revising its death toll upward. The count is now at 1,577 Katrina-related deaths since the storm hit last August 29th. Today's the day, tonight's the night. Got your tickets? After all the hype, the critics are rolling in on the Da Vinci Code. Haras Kuznets is in Philadelphia.
Symbols are a language that can help us understand our past.
And folks who saw the Da Vinci Code say the movie spoke to them.
I thought it was terrific.
I thought it was better than what the critics had said.
How did it compare to the book?
Oh, there are a few parts that were left out, but it all went together well.
But not every aspect of the film was loved by audiences.
Dear God.
Do you think Tom Hanks is a good match with Audrey Tautou?
No. I didn't think he was as heartfelt as I had felt Robert Langdon's character was in the book.
But you didn't believe the love story?
No.
Did you like it anyway?
Yeah, I give it a 7 out of 10.
Hadass Kuznets, CBS News, Philadelphia.
This is CBS News.
Dad, go to Radio Shack and buy me a Singular CG300 phone by LG. It has a camera, Bluetooth, push-to-talk, the works. Why? I'm graduating, that's why. Oh, and you can get it for free.
Go to your local Radio Shack and get on the largest push-to-talk network in America from Singular Wireless with the CG300 by LG free after $50 mail-in rebate and new two-year subscriber agreement. Don't just get a phone, get a Singular phone at Radio Shack today. Good through 6306 for new customers with credit approval. $36 activation and $175 early termination fees apply. Details in store.
I'm thrilled my husband is such a do-it-yourselfer. But some things are better left to professionals. We learned that the hard way after a recent termite problem. Oh, it turns out household pests can cause major property damage and contribute to serious health problems. Now I trust a pest professional to keep our home pest free. With my home and family, I don't take risks. And in the long run, we even save money, too. Oh, honey!
Visit pestworld.org to find a qualified pest professional today.
There were a lot of wows when music downloaders were being charged with crimes. How about now? Some are going off to prison. Reporter Beverly Lumpkin.
Derek Borchardt of Charlotte, North Carolina, was given 6 months of home confinement. But Aaron Jones of Hillsboro, Oregon, got 6 months in prison. And George Hayes of Danville, Virginia, was sentenced to 15 months. The three were the first to be sentenced in the crackdown against organized music piracy groups. The investigation, called Operation Fastlink, has already brought confiscation of hundreds of computers and felony convictions for 30 individuals.
If you are one of hundreds of New Mexico taxpayers on the receiving end of a second refund check, just like the first one, maybe frame it, just don't try to deposit it. State officials say they are aware of the mistake and say if the second check isn't any good, it won't be honored if you deposit it. Right, frame it. I'm Lou Maligano, CBS News.
If you take pain relievers like Advil, Aleve, and Celebrex, you are taking an NSAID. And NSAIDs all work in a similar way. But Tylenol is different. Because Tylenol is not an NSAID. To learn more about how Tylenol is different, talk to your doctor and visit Tylenol.com. Stop. Think. Tylenol.com. Take only as directed.
So let's say you go shopping and you walk into the first store you come to. The store says, hey, no need to shop those other stores. We'll give you our price and theirs too. Well, you think that would save you time, but then you come to your senses. How do you really know if you're getting the best deal?
Car insurance websites that promise multiple rate quotes can't speak for GEICO. Shop for yourself at GEICO.com. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Hear me, Collins.
This is how we do it.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. We are live on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz. We are live on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. And we are all the way live on KSAC 1240, that's Talk City in Sacramento. Our program's also heard in the nighttime on KPHX 1480 in Phoenix, Arizona. And wherever you are, however you happen to be listening, I am delighted. And I am your humble host. And once again, I've declared Free Speech Friday. I have no guests scheduled this hour. It's just you, me, and our telephones. So get on the line now. You may risk exposure to the NSA, but hey, everybody does. My toll-free number is 1-888-579-2540. You got that? 888-579-2540. A couple of things I want to add to the mix here. We've been talking about a number of issues, and you're welcome to continue to talk about those. It's wide open here, so don't feel constrained if you want to talk about something. As I say, the only thing that I really consider off-limits is the Duke rape case. That is a local story that's been overhyped by the national media, and I have no appetite for it. But anything else you want to bring forward, I would love to talk about. And again, 888-579-2540. You may have heard in the network news report just minutes ago about the inmates, the detainees we call them, who threw a scene at Gitmo yesterday, Guantanamo Bay. One of them faked a suicide attempt so the guards would come in, and the others apparently had slicked up the floor with human waste and soapy water, that sort of thing, to try to create an incident. And while I have no real support for people who are rightfully detained by our country as enemy combatants or others, I do support their civil rights, their right to be charged, their right to be reported to international authorities and to their families. Because I don't care how bad of a bad guy you are. Under our nation and our Constitution, you are entitled to due process. And we are denying due process with a kind of legal structure or framework that is not rational. We claim that because they're on Cuba, which is not an American piece of property, that they're not entitled or you know, subject to American laws. And Bush and Jay Bybee, who wrote the torture memo, and another fellow who is an attorney at UC Berkeley, a law school professor, they helped craft this language that has once again allowed the Bush administration to operate outside the law. And so while I don't know who these people are who rioted or tried to set up this trap for the guards at Gitmo yesterday, but there's a part of me that's cheering them on. That says, yes, you are in a desperate situation. You have been denied your fundamental human rights. And under those circumstances, you can take any means necessary to protect yourself or to try to free yourself. The bottom line for me is we should close Gitmo. It's a disgrace, a shameful episode in America's history. And the sooner we get it behind us, the better off we'll be. You may have also heard Donald Rumsfeld saying that, yeah, we're going to send the National Guard to the border, but they won't be shooting anybody. In fact, they won't actually be on the border. They're going to be doing their two-week summer maneuvers near the border. They'll be backing up the Border Patrol. And so it underscores what I've been saying since the president's speech on Monday, that this deployment to the border is a lengthy and expensive photo op, designed to mollify the far right. And here's another issue as part of the immigration debate that's been ginned up for political reasons this year. As you know, this administration took no steps to secure our borders after 9/11. Took minimal steps to protect our ports. And now they're going headlong into securing our borders and dealing with the immigration issue. And here's a wedge, a very divisive matter. And that is, the Senate now is entertaining two pieces of legislation. One that basically says that English is the approved national language. And another that says that English is the official national language. And one report said President Bush supports both. And we know that English is a second or third language for him. Gibberish was his first language. And I realize the power of this argument, because as an American born here, it's frustrating when you go into a retail store and you're dealing with someone who cannot even communicate in basic English. And there are other situations I'm sure that you can cite where people who've been in this country for many years, even some who were born here, fail to learn English, and it's not only a liability to them and to their own personal advancement, but it sets back our entire society. So I understand the desire to make English either the approved or even the official language of this country. But there are other issues too, because diversity and respect for people also play into this. And by and large, I'd like to ignore the whole issue. But the Republican right is not going to permit us to do that this year. So I'd like to hear your thoughts about English and about whether you think the right is right in trying to establish it either as the recommended language or as the official language. And we can talk about what those two distinctions might mean. Now to your calls. Let's pick up Jeff in Sacramento. Hello, Jeff. Thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Yes. Hi, Peter. How are you?
Doing okay, thank you.
Great. Well, you just gave me another subject to comment about.
Okay.
I was going to make a comment about the voter depot
mm-hmm.
issue.
Yeah.
And also the exam on the high school exam issue.
All right, let's get right to it. On voting machines, what's your thought?
Well, I don't think that the voting depot machines is the biggest problem in that issue. To really do anything to it, someone would have to get past the security where the machine is to set up the flaws and all that stuff that supposedly happened.
But on that, Jeff, there are two obvious theories here. One is that an election official who is a partisan, either a Democrat or a Republican, could tamper with the machines to produce a desired outcome.
The other
is that the standard practice in many precincts, including here in California, is that these machines go home with a precinct official the night before the election, sometimes longer. And so there are opportunities for people to tinker with them or to tamper with them.
That's true. And, and that's where the guarding should be, on these people, watching them, making sure that safeguards are put in place so that that can be avoided, or if it happens, it can be tracked to lay blame on whoever did it. But there's no safe machine anywhere that has been developed that will keep things like that from happening.
Well, but wait a minute. The optical scanning machinery, which is not flawless, okay, at least has some advantages, and that is that you fill in the blank for the candidate of your choice, and then you submit it to the machine, and it scans it and counts those votes, all right? There is a paper document that survives the process, and so if there's any kind of a computing error or manipulation that takes place after you put your ballot in the machine, there's something that could be done. But when you're relying entirely on the memory devices built into these Diebold machines, and there is a total of three of them, to provide you with accurate and researchable data, auditable data, then you're relying too much on one machine to provide the confidence that you're looking for. And that's even before hackers come into the picture. If you're just talking about potential mistakes and glitches that occur in the computers, in Ohio in the primary this year, there were a lot of problems where they couldn't even get the machines to power up and boot up.
Right, and that could happen. But while you were talking to Brad, I called Mr. McDonald down at the Secretary of State's office. He's the depot expert for our state, and there is a paper trail of some sort that can be relied on in terms of the depot machine.
Well, some of them, the TSX has been modified to include the toilet paper roll. And the problem is that it's still in the same machinery, and it can simply reflect inaccurate information that gets entered into the memory card in that voting machine. And we've seen the hacker Harry Hursty go into Florida, and he's able to manipulate the machines and have the manipulated information come out on the paper trail that you're talking about.
Well, I think that the issue has been widely used just to promote the idea that the Republicans will cheat. And see, as a Republican, I don't feel like the issue should be there. I mean, I have been very much against cheating in the election,
mm-hmm.
especially in California. And, there's been many things that I have brought up about the Democrats and how the Democratic legislation has set up California so that there could be widespread cheating. And yet the issue is not even taken seriously by either Bowen's office or by the talk radio that's on the left, you know, the progressive ones. They all keep concentrating on Ohio and Florida, but in California, we're set up to have a massive amount of cheating, and yet no one cares about that.
Well, I sure care about it. Jeff, I got to run to a break here, but I thank you for your call today, and I appreciate hearing from you. More calls coming up next. It's a Free Speech Friday. I've got lines available toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. I'll say it slower. 1-888-579-2540. That puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
He's not just another gardener in another garden. Dave Egbert is the Coastal Gardener. Follow Dave each week to unique destination gardens and nurseries. Discover creeklands, garden tips, and fun celebrity garden visits.
Join Dave the Coastal Gardener every Sunday at 6:30 p.m. on ABC 7.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
KRXA 540 looks at your traffic on this Friday ride home. 521 now, here's Amy Knight.
Friday weather in the Santa Cruz Mountains, and if you're traveling there, South 17 before the Redwood Estates, you'll find slow traffic there as well. A left lane block stalled with the, actually, it's slow with a stalled car if you're traveling there. And South 17 before Glenwood Drive, a three-car crash just now being reported. Also, Poline Road at 152 and Gilroy, an injury accident with a car on its side. We're waiting for tow trucks to arrive. And still that chain reported in Salinas, South 101 after Main Street. Drive with caution there. One last problem, Highway 9 at Loman Street in Boulder Creek. Two cars involved in an accident. No new problems to report on 68. You don't need different pain relievers for different pains. Wherever you hurt, Advil works. Advil, the everyday pain reliever. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Amy. We'll check back in about half an hour.
All right.
I'm your humble host on the Peter B. Collins Show. Call me Peter, please. Usually only the arresting officer and the sentencing judge refer to me as Mr. Collins. And today we're live on KSAC 1240 Talk City in Sacramento. Christine Kraft off today. She'll be back with you on Monday. Your calls or comments are welcome here in the Free Speech Zone. You can comment on any issue from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Lines available right now at 1-888-579-2540. And I want to encourage those of you who have learned English, but it wasn't your first language, to call the program and tell me your thoughts on whether English should be made the official language of the United States of America. This would ban any government communication in a language other than English. And I have mixed feelings, as I mentioned, because, I do believe when people come to this country, they should learn English and that it is a very important means of communication. But I also respect diversity and the rights of individuals to, live in their communities and communicate with their families and friends in their native tongue. So I'd like to hear your thoughts on whether this is simply an issue designed to divide Americans in this highly partisan political year, or if you think there is a basis to it and that we should try to put aside our own partisan bias and do what's best for the country. So let me know your thoughts on English as the official language, and in particular, if English is not your first tongue, I'd like to hear your opinion. 1-888-579-2540. We go to Radul in Santa Cruz. Hello, Radul. You're on the air.
Hello, Peter. I think that if you are not learning the English, you're not becoming American.
Well, I understand that point, but what about people who, for example, are not fully proficient in English? Should they be allowed to vote?
It doesn't matter if you are coming from anywhere in the world. You are coming to America to learn the language because it's important.
Okay. And how long have you been in this country, Radul?
About 4 years.
4 years?
Yeah.
And how difficult has it been for you to learn English?
But I don't speak it good yet, but I like to learn.
Well, I understand what you're saying.
But a lot of people don't like to learn your language, but it's important. Mm-hmm. It's important to learn because I cannot talk with the people even if I don't learn.
I understand, and it's frustrating for me when I go into, a retail shop, and I'm just trying to do a simple transaction, and the person there doesn't speak enough English to communicate with me about their job. You know, I'm not asking them to, read me literature in their original language or anything like that. I just want basic communication, and I want my change to be accurate.
Yeah, but you're in a position to influence the whole world. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to spy on your people and you're going to kill your own prisoners and torture them, and you're going to commit the terrorism around the world, I think we have to call you the great Satan. And we have to question you.
Well, as long as you do it in English, I guess it'll be okay with Bush. Thanks, Radul.
Okay.
Nice to talk to you. Now to Tars in Arcata. Hello, Tars.
Oh, hi, Peter B. You got me?
Yes, sir. I'm hanging on every word.
Well, bless your heart.
Yeah. I also was listening for your accent because I can tell it's not from South Carolina.
No, it's not. No, actually, I'm a German-born Australian come American now. So
uh-huh.
I've actually gone through the process of learning a language at a younger age, so I didn't have the political ramifications at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But my personal feeling is that if you're going to come or go to another country, that it's important to learn the language just for the communication aspect.
I agree.
And I think you made a point about the political ramifications of and correct me if I'm wrong, that if English becomes the official language in the States, that all legal communications will be in English. Is that correct?
That's right, including government documents. Voting materials are currently subject to separate legislation, but this bill could be written to overrule that. So far, I don't think that's the case, but it's possible. And it means that all street signs, all official government communications would have to be in English.
All right. Well, I don't want to keep you too long, but the thing, I still feel that everybody that comes to this country would find it useful, if nothing else, to communicate in the maybe
fully understood. But Tars, do you think it should be compulsory?
Is it compulsory to be able to communicate with the new country that you're in? You know, I have a bit of a stumbling point there because I guess my first reaction is. It's not a yes and no. It's a gray area for me.
I understand, Tars, and I'm out of time, so we'll leave it there and talk to more callers.
Well, yes,
Free Speech Friday is underway, 888-579-2540. You're in touch with the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
When it comes to the safety of your family in Monterey County, you have a clear choice to elect a sheriff we can all be proud of, Robert Owen. He's running for sheriff because he has 30 years' experience in law enforcement, with the integrity and skill necessary to provide visionary leadership for the Monterey County Sheriff's Department. Robert Owen's campaign refuses to take large special interest donations. You can't say that about the other candidates who want to be your sheriff. On June 6, vote for the sheriff who will work for the people of Monterey County. Vote Robert Owen, sheriff.
Paid for by Robert Owen, candidate for Monterey County Sheriff.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to the designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience. I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Hello. I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm glad you're listening. I have declared another Free Speech Friday. I got another 30 minutes here, and there's room for your call. If you're a first-timer, come on, bring it on. 888-579-2540. Once again, it's 1-888-579-2540. Lots of different topics underway here, and you're welcome to bring in another one if you like, but we've been talking about English as an official language here in these United States. We've talked about electronic voting machines. We've talked about the high school exit exam and the NSA and General Gordon's nomination to serve over there at the CIA now. I'm sorry, Hayden, not Gordon. I got my generals mixed up. And plenty of other issues you can work on, so feel free to give me a call, 888-579-2540. Some people prefer email, and you can drop me a note, peter at peterbcollins.com. And if you think I'm a nut, you could send it to Big Mouth, or maybe it's Loudmouth. Yeah, I think Loudmouth at peterbcollins.com, but it all reaches me eventually. And we have a note here from Skip in Sacramento, who wants to know if I'm related to the late, great radio star Al Jazbo Collins. And the answer is we worked together at KGO Radio in San Francisco. A lot of people thought he's my dad, but I can't make that claim. He was a great guy, passed away just a few years ago, and a man who engendered a lot of affection from his radio listeners. Anybody who's been to the Purple Grotto or who's been bejuberized knows what I'm talking about. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you miss something great in Al Jazbo Collins. Up next, we got Ed in Aptos. Hello, Ed. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Greetings.
Hi. How you doing?
Pretty good. Talk about language. One of my English classes, professor stated quoted some kind of a study, said that your income was based upon your vocabulary, make your education level or anything, if you were self-taught or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, I think that breaks down into your ability to use the language.
You remember there were some bad radio commercials that played for years, and from my knowledge, they might still be on. But it was some cassette tape program to improve your vocabulary called Verbal Advantage. And the announcer said, people do judge you by the words you use.
Yeah, yeah. But I,
Do you think English should be the official language of the U.S. government?
Nah. I think it's a waste of time.
Well, I agree, and
it's just like building the fence. All the sound and fury, and unless they make it, put more money into it than they want to,
mm-hmm.
What the money amount? It's just like they're trying to fight the war in Iraq on the cheap, and they'll build a fence that any self-respecting person could tunnel under, in one night, probably.
Yeah.
So it's just, I think that the people do themselves a disfavor, though, by not learning the language, because they are at an economic disadvantage, and they stay at an economic disadvantage because they don't learn the language.
I hear that. So what's the balance point, Ed? What do we create incentives for people to learn English, or do we make it the law that many people will not live up to?
No, yeah, I think the economic incentive, just harp at the fact that if you know English, you're going to, you know, the law of averages is that, you know, not everybody does, but on average that you'll end up over a lifetime making more money.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And that's, you know, pure and simple, just the basic economics of the thing you think would be the incentive to learn the language.
Gotcha. Ed, I got a full board here, so if you got another point,
I was just curious about, it seems to me that the Mexicans form enclaves and they hang on to their language a lot stronger than any of the other populations. Although maybe it's just because of their numbers that it seems that way.
You ever been to Little Saigon in San Jose? You ever been to Chinatown in San Francisco?
Yeah, but I guess those are several generations that have more or less assimilated, and so although I probably would, if, you know, the grandmas and the grandpas did not speak English, so.
Mm-hmm. All right, Ed, thanks a lot for your call today. I feel a panic attack coming on. Tommy Panic is our low-budget, undercover, investigative reporter, and today he reports from Washington, D.C. How you doing, Tommy?
Oh, Peter, I'm exhausted. It's been quite a week since we last spoke. I've been to Tijuana, where I blew the lid off that high-life steroid scandal. What Balco is to baseball, this cattle rancher producing a designer drug using ingredients from the kidney of a cow.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, is to highlight. I also actually briefly headed further south where I visited the site of what archaeologists are calling the Brazilian Stonehenge. Fascinating story, but yes, today, back in the States, and I report from your nation's capital, I'm posing as a mainstream media news reporter.
That won't last long.
Yeah, I've had my teeth whitened. I've perfected my perky smile. I had my breasts augmented. They're looking good. And I'm here to cover the Sweet 16 party of a bigwig, and we're gonna leave him unnamed member of the Republican Party, but many big names here at the event. I saw MSNBC's Rita Cosby.
Oh, God.
She's even more attractive in person.
She's so annoying.
Yeah, up for best man as posing as a female anchor. Mm. Who else was here? Jeff Gannon. We use the word media loosely when we refer to him. James Guckert is his actual name, the bisexual Rush Limbaugh-listening Republican shill. The guy that used to hang out at White House press briefings, even though he didn't work for the press, really. I'm the real press. If I go near that thing, there's a chance I get shot. So,
yeah.
I mean, records indicate he spent the night at the White House, too. That's weird. Maybe Mr. and Mrs. 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue looking to spice things up a little as they head into old age. Then again, it's talk like that put me on the no-fly list to begin with. So, the point is, you kind of notice this. Media not really doing their job. I mean, and the powers that be couldn't be happier that you've got the mainstream media more concerned with the horse farm where Jimmy Hoffa's remains might be, wondering what white women might go missing next, and people talking about American Idol. If you engage in such insipid water cooler discussion, I propose sterilization. But, I mean, even the issue created by the administration that's become an issue, immigration. It just kind of takes away from what we should be focused on. I mean, and the collective American people so caught up in the meaningless minutiae. We don't even realize the lies from the top change on a regular basis. I mean, look at the wiretap issue. First, you got number 43 flat out lying about it. Then he completely denies it. Then comes an acknowledgement. And finally, the declaration that if the decider decides, then it's legal. So you've got this continual flow of flawed cause and effect theories. If we don't fight them there, we fight them here. All that stuff.
Oh, yeah, that one. And the other one is that if we'd only had the NSA spying in place before 9/11, we would have stopped Al-Qaeda.
Exactly. While the mainstream media dedicates segments to a possible Paris Hilton-Lindsay Lohan feud. So Karl Rove is actually at this shindig, and there's quite a bit of buzz around the Beltway that the guy who helped the president cheat during the 2004 presidential debates knows his fate and that the public announcement is imminent. We'll see about that. Oh, and Miss Credibility, Judith Miller is here. I'll probably try to cozy up to her later, saying that she had the anonymous White House source telling her in July of 2001 that the NSA intelligence report predicted a large Al-Qaeda attack,
right,
and didn't do anything about it. I mean, a Pulitzer on a silver platter, and you don't write the story. then again, if she had, she might be, I don't know, she might be keeping Fredo company at the bottom of Lake Tahoe. But I flip on the news wanting a little more on this monumental story, and what do I get? I get coverage of Britney Spears nearly dropping her baby in front of the paparazzi. So,
yeah,
real important stuff. Of course, just this week, the Pentagon 9/11 video released. Now
right.
It all makes sense. And
to whom?
Where's the analysis? I don't know, but plenty of coverage of Halle Berry's clash with a radio host over nothing. So ultimately here, I think we know the story. What's the story? 9/11, many unanswered questions. What else is the story? Iraq. Wow, that's going really well. How about the story of all the staggering number of homeless vets that have come home? It's unbelievable, but it's very 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 discouraging. But Halliburton, Dick Cheney, Exxon, Condoleezza Rice, doing pretty well. But Peter, I mean, that's enough for now. I got to get into this Sweet 16 shindig. Drew Lachey will be performing. I'm looking forward to that. This family, it's unbelievable. They've spent about $300,000 to make their little girl feel like a petulant, hoard-out socialite, at least for one night. But after this, I'm off to Canada to report on Ogopogo, that famous Canadian lake monster. I'll be in touch, certainly, if I make contact with the beast. But
all right.
I'm out for now, Peter.
Tommy, have a great night there. You're hanging with the heavies there inside the Beltway.
Thank you.
Tommy Panic, exclusive to the Peter B. Collins Show, because, well, nobody else really wants him. Barbara in Yuba City, you're next. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. I would like to make a couple of comments with reference to the English language flap.
Please.
Number one is that the Americans, I have lived over in Europe, and I have lived briefly in Latin America as well. The Americans who are over there take a pride in not speaking the language of the country in which they are living. And when I say living, I mean long term.
Yeah.
They simply make no effort at all. So I might be impressed with what we are trying to do if we perform differently than we do. And
well, you make an excellent point, and I can't tell you how many times I've been embarrassed traveling in Europe.
Oh, it's awesome.
Where Americans come in and make no effort to speak the language.
And
often, if you just start off with a pleasantry in the language, they'll take over in English and say, "Yes, sir, your table is ready."
Oh, absolutely they do. And it's not only that they don't speak the language, it's that they are so proud of the fact that they do not speak it.
Yeah,
then
well,
that's ugly.
That's the ugly American, and he and she, they're still out there.
Well, now, there's one more point I'd like to make, too.
Go ahead.
Is that the Americans who do speak English or speak it so dreadfully, and this is not my judgment. This is from people who are trying to hire this American. Their language is so limited. They have such a limited vocabulary, mostly consisting of four-letter, sharp-sounding words.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, they really do not. They do not speak English themselves, and they don't speak any other language.
Yeah.
They just don't. And I think that we need to take a look at ourselves first, and then after that, we can look at someone else.
Well, you make an excellent point. We're not very good at introspection. When people do it, we are called self-hating Americans, and, our patriotism is questioned. But
well, actually,
I think
I don't hate myself at all. I'm very proud of myself, and I am, oh, good heavens, I don't know. I've lost count how many generations my family has been here. When they came, you didn't even have to have a visa. I mean, they've been here for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that this ridiculous nationalism is counterproductive.
I sure agree with you, and nationalism is exactly what it is. Thank you, Barbara.
Uh-huh, thank you.
We're going to take a break and return with more of your calls here, Free Speech Friday on the Peter B. Collins Show. There's a line available for you, toll-free, 1-888-579-2540. That's 1-888-579-2540. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Sheila Gale here from the number one reality radio show at KRXA. Join me this Saturday between 6 and 7 p.m. for more dating tales and dating nightmares with our lady Lana and hear updates from our former gang member, Robert X. We'll have a conversation with an Indonesian Muslim and hear about his experiences since 9/11. So don't miss us. Saturday between 6 and 7 p.m. with me, Sheila Gale, Reality Radio, AM 540 KRXA.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
Do you struggle when it comes to teaching your child about the family rules? It's essential to learn to set limits when your children are young and for parents to mean what they say and say what they mean. I'm Nurse Rona. Join me Sunday to discuss love with limits.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
KRXA 540 looks one more time at your traffic on this Friday afternoon with Amy Knight.
Slippery conditions in Felton. Zionte Road at Graham Hill Road, reports of soap in the road that's bubbling up because of the recent rain that's coming down right now, so drive with caution as you travel through Felton. Also, South 17, after the summit, we have reports of an injury accident with an SUV that went over the embankment and got stuck in some trees. Emergency crews should be arriving on scene shortly. Highway 152 at Holahan, an accident off to the shoulder. Also in Marina, drive with caution, North 1 at 12. You'll report reports of cars swerving to avoid three rugs in the lanes. And southbound 1 near Highway 183 in Castroville, a solo car struck a pole in the area. This report brought to you by Orkin. Did you know some... I'm stalked by Swell the Orkin Man notes. Call 1-800-ORKIN-MAN. Amy Knight with traffic.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Monday morning feels so bad. Everybody seems to nag me. Coming Tuesday, I feel better. Even my old man looks good.
Yeah, I got Friday on my mind. It's been a long week, and we all survived. More of your calls now here on Free Speech Friday on the Peter B. Collins Show. Rob is up next. Hello, Rob. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you, Peter?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Excellent. I want to talk about impeachment.
Uh-huh.
And basically, I just want to let your audience know that there is the beginnings of a new impeachment movement here in California, and in support of Assemblyman Paul Koretz's bill, AJR 39. Mm-hmm. It will be a resolution introduced into the Assembly in the near term here, calling for the impeachment of George Bush and Dick Cheney.
Well, just one minute, Rob. He's having trouble getting it out of committee.
This is true.
And it appears that the Speaker, Fabian Nunez, is not deeply in favor of this. And it is causing some problems in the Democratic caucus. We talked to Mr. Koretz about 2 weeks ago.
Well, this is all absolutely true. And the issue here, though, I think we need to keep a hold on here is that, you know, this is a popular movement. This is not a bureaucratic impeachment like Clinton's was. Our leaders need to understand the level of discontent in our state. And we as Californians have the ability here to support our politicians who come out vociferously in support of this resolution. And I think that is where what is the huge difference here, that we can focus our attention collectively, you know, red, green, blue, red, what doesn't matter. We can all support this because ultimately Bush has failed all of us.
Well, and Joe, here's one of the issues that I think is really important. Particularly the Democratic Party over the last 6 years has lost key election after key election by playing it safe, by reading the polls and saying, oh, we don't want to offend those independent voters who might come over to our side. That's what hobbled the Kerry campaign. He was trying to play it so safe, hoping to, you know, hold the Democrats in place while winning over either a few Republican lights or you know, independent or unregistered voters. And to me, that was a fundamental mistake. And I see that happening here with impeachment. Now, I understand the political arguments for soft peddling this and not creating a target of opportunity for the Republicans. But damn it, at the end of the day, this administration, in my opinion, has violated numerous laws intentionally and repeatedly. And if we do nothing, we are condoning it and giving it our tacit approval. And I believe the Democrats have to take a risk here. There is a risk. Karl Rove could somehow manipulate this to his benefit. But at the end of the day, the Democrats have to say, well, what's right and what's wrong? And what's wrong is that this administration has run roughshod over our laws and Constitution, and if we do not hold them accountable, all we're doing is asking for more.
I couldn't agree more. And I think we have to look at what happened here in Los Angeles during the, you know, when we had 500,000 people or more marching in the streets. All of a sudden, the political leadership is starting to take notice and actually responding to it. Perhaps in some ways, not in the most positive ways, but they know the people are restless. And I think it's really important that we actually combine forces in the state of California here. We have that opportunity to do that, north to south, you know, to really make a difference. And I think people standing up for impeachment, not necessarily as the end all, but it's certainly as a statement, as a symbol that the people in California, after having been ripped off by the Republican GOP Enron cabal, that we are not going to take this, and we're going to actually defend ourselves from what is happening in the federal level.
All right, Rob, thanks for the call. The NSA will be calling you next. Joe in Pacific Grove, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter.
Hi, Joe.
First-time caller.
Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Lots of issues I would love to touch on, but I want to just comment on a couple.
All right.
With regard to English being the official language, my question is, what's the upside? What's the benefit? Who benefits from that? I mean, it seems like sort of a statement to make, but I don't see any tangible benefit coming out of it. I would almost equate it to renaming French fries Freedom Fries in the Capitol cafeteria.
Can subtract the partisan politics and the way the right wing is trying to bait the rest of us. There is, I think, a benefit. If every person in this country spoke the same language, it makes for a cohesive society. It makes interpersonal communication and intercultural communication easier and more productive. That said, we don't live in an ideal world, and we can't just imagine that that's going to occur because we will it into legislation. And my belief is that it is counterproductive overall to try to impose English as an official language. I do think it's beneficial, though, to promote English as the unifying language of the United States for the reasons I just cited.
I would agree with that, but I've got to think that the hardships that it would cause, particularly to the elderly who come to this country as part of family unification efforts, things like that, outweigh the benefit of mandating it.
I agree. I think mandating it is counterproductive, and I don't think it'll work.
On another topic, real quickly, with regard to impeachment, I agree with you. I'm frustrated with the Democratic leadership. It feel that the political aspects of it, to me, feel like saying what they need to say to get elected, even though that's not potentially their real intention. And my question with regard to impeachment is, if we were successful in impeaching Bush, isn't it the case that Cheney would succeed him and we'd still have the same administration minus George Bush?
Well, one of the strategists has suggested that we impeach Cheney first and then get to Bush second. That would allow Bush to choose his successor, not necessarily an upgrade from Cheney. So it's a mixed bag, and clearly it's an expression of our frustration and our desire to see people held accountable. Thanks a lot for joining me today. Let's go to Frank in Marina next. Frank, you're on the air.
Hey, hello, Peter.
Hi.
So your two previous callers, excuse me, two callers just handled everything I wanted to say, but I'm glad that Susan Sarandon maybe you saw it on the news today, she's supporting Jonathan Tessini for U.S. Senator from the state of New York rather
New
than
York.
Hillary Clinton.
Right.
And I'm hoping he, you know, his budget is like on a shoestring, and I
right.
hope that the people in New York will support him. And because he has this anti-war position and he's against the big military budget.
Yeah.
But you know,
I wish, too, in the Pennsylvania primary, I was pulling for a progressive named Chuck Pinocchio.
Right,
and,
I know.
And, you know, he showed okay, but he couldn't beat Casey.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. She's got a lot of money behind her, but the thing is, every week or every month or every couple of weeks with this administration, do you ever notice that when there's a scandal going on or there's some investigation, within the next week there's a new scandal, and then everybody, especially the corporate media, focuses on something new?
Yeah.
And
it's
last week it was the, you know, everybody was crossing their fingers waiting for the Karl Rove indictment to come down.
Right.
Now all of a sudden, immigration and language.
Well, it's from Popiel, the home of the pocket fisherman, and it's called the Distract-O-Matic. And if you watch TV really, really, really late at night, you can order one delivered to your home in 48 hours. Thanks for checking in today, Frank, and
okay.
thanks to everybody else who called today. We left a few people dangling on the switchboard, but we did set a new personal record here on the Peter B. Collins Show for listener calls, and I thank you for that. I'll be back at you Monday, same time, same station. Hope you have a great weekend. Keep America strong, tell the truth, and fight for it.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling.
Salt beans. Our investigation turned up nothing.
Could somebody testify by him before a grand jury? Doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and to declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women can live. Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you retire, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. Got to catapult the propaganda.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Lou Malagano. A phony suicide at Guantanamo Bay, with guards heading in to stop it and finding themselves attacked. It was an ambush.
When guards charged inside, they slid across a floor that had been smeared with excrement, urine, soap, blood. Two went down. There was a hand-to-hand fighting.
Reporter Carol Rosenberg's there and says it took about an hour for guards to get control of the situation. Several of the detainees slightly injured.
The Army unleashed what they call a quick reaction force, which let loose with pepper spray, 5 rubber bullet rounds, 90 marble-sized pellets, and something called a sponge round.
This latest outbreak came a day before a UN torture panel reported Guantanamo should be closed down. CBS News reporter Charles Wilson tells us.
State Department legal advisor John Bellinger said the U.S. was disappointed with the report, and he criticized its authors for what he called errors of fact and misstatements of law. At the charges, the U.S. condones the use of torture against some detainees, including those held at Guantanamo Bay.
We have said that torture is clearly prohibited. Torture is prohibited in Guantanamo. It's prohibited anywhere in the world by any of our U.S. government agencies.
When pressed, Bellinger said said the prohibition also applies to anyone doing contract work for the government. Charles Wolfson, CBS News, the State Department.
The U.S. is calling in several hundred troops from Kuwait to help with security when Iraq inaugurates a new government tomorrow. CBS News correspondent Alan Pizzi says the incoming prime minister is still trying to reach agreement on the key defense and interior ministries.
The cabinet will be presented to the 275 members of parliament tomorrow to vote on, but two key posts, Ministry of Defense and the Interior, have not been filled. The minority Sunnis want the defense post. The majority Shiites want the Minister of the Interior.
The immigration bill working its way through the U.S. Senate has been toughened up. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss.
The amendment to declare English America's national language may not have much effect beyond symbolism, but it's one of a series of victories by conservatives like John Cornyn of Texas to toughen up the immigration bill.
We can't simply open our borders to anyone and everyone who wants to come to the United States, or we would be swamped by a veritable tsunami of humanity.
The bill also now calls for 400 miles of border fence and bars illegal immigrants who commit crimes from gaining legal status. But the main